This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run. Fires down the middle. It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White. He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. Poy, touch to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Good afternoon. Welcome to One Bills Drive, everybody. John Murphy and Donald Jones here from our One Buffalo studio here until 3 o'clock today. And we got a pretty good show, interesting show coming up for you here today. Thanks for tuning in. Donald, good to see you. Ready to start a new week?
I'm ready. It's Super Bowl week.
Super Bowl week. We're not there, obviously. We're not going there, but Steve Tasker is. He's going to cover it for us. We've got Tasker and our producer, Jay Harris, on their way to chilly Minneapolis as we speak, getting set to cover the Super Bowl for us. There have been a couple of people have posted pictures online about the media setup, the Radio Row setup.
Yeah.
You saw it. I didn't see it, but you told me what it looks like.
It's in the food court of the Mall of America Mall out there in Minneapolis, in Minnesota. It just looks like there's a bunch of tables set up around the food court. So I'm not sure if they – I mean, those businesses – because typically they kind of section off Radio Row, right,
yeah,
from everybody else.
Yeah.
So if the Radio Row is in the middle of the food court, who's eating the food? That means all of the fans are not spending their money in the food court. I would have to believe that those businesses are a little upset.
It means that Jay and Steve Tasker have a steady diet of Sbarro pizza and those pretzels. What are those, Auntie-somebody's pretzels?
Auntie Anne's?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll probably get tired of eating that food court.
Food court food.
Don't want to eat in another food court for a year.
We look forward to their Super Bowl coverage, though, and it starts tomorrow right here on the show. Steve Tasker covering the Super Bowl for us. A lot of guests lined up already. Steve, of course, has some experience playing in 4 Super Bowls, covering several others. We'll get his reports from the Super Bowl starting tomorrow. Today is a red-letter day here at One Bills Drive because of the Eric Wood announcement. The Bills' longtime veteran center is going to officially announce his retirement at a 1 o'clock news conference. They are setting up for it right now inside the Ed Pro Sports Training Center, the practice field on the other side of the wall over there. And, of course, we will carry it live. Eric Wood at the podium today to talk about his retirement. A couple of people here today have mentioned how it is kind of a sad day, and Donald, and you don't often get big retirement announcements like this from veteran players. Unfortunately, when players leave, very often it has something to do, well, sometimes injury, but more often it has something to do with a release from the roster or a trade or not offering a free agent deal. You know, they don't bring them back in free agency. And so it's kind of rare. I can't think of a retirement announcement in the field house or under these circumstances since Jim Kelly way back in, I think it was January or February of 1998 it had to be. So that's a long time between retirement announcements. Eric, with his 9 years here, obviously, and the circumstances surrounding it, his injury, right, his neck injury that will prevent him from returning to play any more football, gets a chance to do it. But it's rare that a player gets, you know, you'd like to see a player walk away healthy on his terms, on his timetable. That doesn't happen very often. And even in modern-day NFL, it doesn't happen very often when players get a chance to say goodbye. Typically, as I said, it's no contract offered in free agency or a release, you know, a cap casualty-type release. This is a different circumstance here today for Eric Wood.
It's definitely a different circumstance. He was just offered an extension this year, and a two-year extension. So, and then you add to it that the team made the playoffs, and so he was definitely excited to come back next year and build on that stuff. Like you said, you don't get this often. You don't get retirements, a big press conference type of retirement. In this day and age, you get a statement on Twitter.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, I'm sorry to go. This game has given me so much, things like that, but I'm going to have to go ahead and call it quits. So I'm sure it's going to be an emotional day for Eric Wood, for a lot of people in Buffalo who love him. He's done so much around the city. He's been so involved in the community, and that's why, and he's been here for 9 years. This is the only team that he has played for, and that's why I believe you're getting a press conference like this. But like I said on Friday, you know, I like to look at it on the flip side of the thing, and I'm just happy for him that, you know, it sucks that it's actually ending his career, but I'm happy he gets to go on and move on to the next phase of his life and have a press conference or something like this, because most players would love to have something like this,
right,
when they're retiring. But most players don't get to have something like this when you're retiring. Most players get a call from the coach or from the GM saying, hey, man, we got to move in a different direction.
Right, we're not bringing you back.
You speak to your family, and you're like, all right, it's time to call it quits. You call your agent up, hey, can we prepare a statement so that I can put it out there on Twitter or something like that, or I do a video on Instagram or something like that. That's how I did it. Most players don't get something like this, so it's a big day for Eric Woods.
We'll carry the news conference live. We are told that there are several current teammates of Eric Woods and former teammates of Eric Woods who plan on being here today, and, in fact, we'll keep you posted on that. We'll carry the news conference live. We'll get some reaction. But I just took a walk down to the locker room and saw a number of current players, and now keep in mind they have scattered in the 4 weeks since the playoff game ended. But I saw Ryan Groy, I saw Cordy Glenn, mm-hmm. Lorenzo Alexander is here, several others expected, and reports that maybe some former teammates of Eric Woods guys still playing in the league, including your old quarterback. Old is probably the wrong word, but your
he
former quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick may make an appearance here today. Andy Levitre, who came into the league the same year as Eric Wood and went on to success with the Titans and the Atlanta Falcons. So there's going to be a pretty strong turnout of current and former teammates from Eric Wood, I believe, in the field house here today.
If all these dudes were playing when I was playing, that means they're old now.
Oh, okay.
'Cause I was 8 years in. I would be 8 years in this year.
Is this your official acknowledgement that you're old?
NFL old. I'm not old. It's just NFL old. There's a difference. Now, NFL years are somewhat like dog years, but just NFL old. These guys have been playing a while, and it just goes to show you when you have different guys that are still playing in the league on other teams that are coming into town, you have your current players who might not necessarily have been in town, but they're coming back into town for a day like this. It just goes to show you how beloved he was around the locker room. And guys truly loved hanging with him. They loved playing with him. It just goes to show you the type of guy that he is on this team.
I agree. It's a testament to how popular Eric Wood is and was among his teammates, that mm-hmm. former teammates who really have no connection to the Buffalo Bills are planning on coming in for this. We'll see actually who shows up. What was it about Eric Wood? We're not writing his obituary, by the way, here today.
Right.
He's still alive and is going to have a nice, I'm sure, productive and happy, healthy life moving forward. But what was it that made him such a well-regarded and well-respected teammate in that locker room, Donald?
He was just always the guy. You can get on a team sometimes where guys who have been in the league for a while, guys who have made, let's just say, a certain amount of money, if you were a first rounder or something like that, you've been to Pro Bowls, you might not necessarily be an open type of guy in terms of speaking to everybody, in terms of personality. You might sometimes close yourself off to just the guys that you hang out with on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're a rookie and you're coming into this thing, now when I got here, Eric was only here for a year. This was his second year when I came in, my rookie year. So he was still young in this thing, but he still was a guy who we always talked. And this year's team was a little bit different in terms of their relationship with each other. I mean, you have everybody on this team really hanging out with each other. When I was here, and in a lot of teams, it's not always like that. You hang out with the guys in your position group. You hang out with guys who you just have become friends with, and that's typically it. But Eric Wood is a guy who – it doesn't really matter. He'll hang out with anybody. You know, he'll ask you, just talk to you about your family. He'll tell you, he'll give you advice on life outside of here and different things that you should do. Maybe even some financial advice or whatever the case may be. He is that type of guy, and that's why guys look up to him, and that's why you have, you know, guys that are coming back to for a day like this.
When you got here, he was, what, 3 or 4 years into his career?
He was 2009, right? I was 2010.
Okay, the next year.
Yeah.
And was he always regarded, I mean, at that early stage of his career, was he always regarded as a leader, a guy you would look up to?
He was definitely regarded as a leader. I mean, he was a starter. So for me, if you were a starter on a team, I looked at you as a leader in my rookie year. He was always just a cool guy for me. I mean, in terms of looking up to somebody, I looked up to Lee Evans and those guys who were already 8, 9, 10 years into their careers. Eric Wood was just a guy who I was cool with, and I know that he was a starter. I knew that he was a first round draft pick from the year before, so you have just that right there that guys look up to. When you're an undrafted guy, you're looking up to a guy who was a first rounder, regardless of if it was the year before, even at the same year. You know, CJ Spiller was a guy, he was the first rounder that year, and I looked up to him because, man, this dude, and I mean, he was really great in college. He was a guy that we all watched and on Saturday nights. When my game was over, I was watching him on Saturday nights. But when just because he was a first rounder and I was undrafted, I was looking up to everything that he was doing. So Eric Wood was, he was only in his second year, but I just looked up to him because of the accomplishment of just being a first rounder.
So Eric Wood's news conference, 1 o'clock today. We will carry it live here on the show. We will also get reaction from some of his current and former teammates, hopefully get a couple of them in studio. They're going to be out there in the field house, the other side of the wall here to talk about that. In the meantime, we'd love to talk with you about Eric Wood. The phone line's open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Our Twitter poll today deals with your weekend. It was an odd weekend, not having any meaningful, and I do say meaningful. NFL football with the Pro Bowl yesterday. And we want to know from you on Twitter, what you did with your open weekend here. What did you watch when it came to football, if anything? Maybe it just took the weekend off. Did you watch the Senior Bowl? We talked a lot about the Senior Bowl last week. We had Chris Brown there. Chris Brown, by the way, coming into our studio, coming up here at 12:30 today. Did you watch the Senior Bowl on Saturday? Look at some of the prospects, maybe formed impressions of Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen and that group. Did you watch the Pro Bowl yesterday, the exhibition game? The Pro Bowl in Orlando, Florida yesterday. Did you watch neither? Did you watch both? Give us a call. If you watch both, I'm gonna be worried about you a little bit. Give us a
People
call.
People might have wanted to just relax.
Yeah,
you know, this weekend. Let me just chill this weekend. I'm going to watch it. And to be honest with you, at this point in the season, at this point in the year, people have such a thirst in this country for football that they know that the season is winding down. And after the Super Bowl, there's no more football until August. So let me go ahead and just chill, watch. And then you have the draft. Everybody's paying attention to the draft. So I'm going to watch the Senior Bowl because it might be some guys that I want the team to draft. I'm going to go ahead and watch the Pro Bowl because the season's coming to an end. So, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if people watch both games.
Go to Twitter if you'd like and let us know what you watch. Our Twitter poll is up. What did you watch this weekend? Senior Bowl, Pro Bowl, both of them, neither of them. Did you watch something else? I watch a lot of basketball. I went to two games this weekend. Went to Canisius Niagara Saturday. Went to Damon College yesterday. In between, now I did watch most of the Senior Bowl on Saturday, at least three quarters of it, Donald. And I did watch none of the Pro Bowl yesterday. Listen to our buddy Steve Tasker was in the booth covering the game yesterday.
The Pro Bowl.
At the Pro Bowl. What a challenge. I was thinking, listening to him and his partner, Kugler. I forget the guy's first name, Kugler.
Now, Kevin Kugler. Now, he was doing Westwood One, right?
Yeah, Westwood One on the radio yesterday. Uh-huh. He was on Sirius XM NFL radio. I listened to Steve and thought, man, that's a tough game to do. And even at the end of the game, with the AFC comeback at the end of the game, Steve tried to make it interesting but kept on reminding us that it was an exhibition game, that players are playing a little bit more than half speed.
Yeah.
Just a kind of a difficult game to broadcast, I'm sure, for Steve. But I did listen. I didn't see any of the video. I did listen.
You would have to think and imagine, I mean, these are all Pro Bowlers, so these are all of the best players in the league that everybody's been paying attention to all year. You know how when you're preparing for a game, you have to get backstories and different things on guys that you're not used to covering. At least these guys, you can get some backstories. It's easy to get backstories on those guys because these are the best players that everybody talks about every week.
Yeah, and I was thinking, and I did hear Steve do this, you almost have to approach it a lot differently, as if to say, this guy had this year and looking for this. He's at this stage of his career, and this player, plays with this player. But it's a show, right? And I think as long as everybody understands that, I'm okay with it. I don't find the Pro Bowl an affront to my sensibilities or anything. You know, it's a show. It's a celebrity show with great athletes on the field going up against each other. But certainly, no one wants to get hurt, and there's not going to be any of that. And certainly. There's a limit, except for, I guess, Lorenzo Alexander, a limit on how hard you're going to play and how much you're going to put people at risk for injury, right?
Yeah, Lorenzo didn't care. Lorenzo said last week it's hard for him to turn it off. Once he gets in between those lines, it's kind of like when I was in high school, we had this from our field house down to the practice field, they put out this white line. And it was like as soon as you get past this white line, there's no walking on the field. And this wasn't even the field. We still had like another 100 yards to go before we actually got to the practice field, but our coaches didn't allow anyone to walk when you got past that white line. Anywhere past that white line, there is no walking. So Lorenzo is the type of guy that as soon as he crosses those white lines, I'm full speed. I don't care if it's the Pro Bowl. I don't care if it's a preseason game. I don't care if my kids are playing and I'm coaching. I'm going full speed.
Well, yeah, they don't go full speed, but Steve did a – a heck of a job broadcasting the game. And we'll talk to Steve when he joins us, you know, coming up a little bit later on this week, live from the Super Bowl. In the meantime, give us your thoughts. What did you watch this weekend? 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can do it on Twitter at John Murphy Show. What did you watch? Your thoughts on Eric Wood? Whatever else you have in mind. We'll carry the Eric Wood News Conference live at 1. We'll get reaction up until the end of the show at 3 o'clock. And Chris Brown, Bills insider from BuffaloBills.com, just back from the Senior Bowl, going to join us at 12:30 to sort of recap the Senior Bowl game. In the meantime, let's take some of your phone calls. We'll start with Robert in Portland, Oregon. Robert, hello. You're on the air. Go ahead, please. Hello, Robert. We need the folks in our control room to punch those calls up, please. Robert in Portland, Oregon. Are you there, Robert?
No, Robert.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can now. Thank you, Robert. Thanks for being patient.
Monday. John and Donald, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
Did you say happy Monday?
Yeah, happy Monday.
Oh. Thank you.
Thank you, I guess.
So I'm calling in about Eric Wood. You know, I'm really sad, was really saddened by the news that he's going to be retiring. Obviously, he's been a big part of this team. And I think between him and Kyle Williams, you got Kyle Williams, heart and soul of the team, and definitely Eric Wood is kind of the pulse. He really gave us some inside perspective as far as how the organization was doing. So I am sad to see him leave. But the question I have is, as we look at this kind of surprise injury and then also the Zay Jones situation, I've got questions about the medical staff and maybe the job that they're doing identifying these injuries more proactively and just wondering, is there something they could be doing better?
Well, like what? First of all, do you know anything at all about Eric Wood's injury, when it was identified, when it was detected, when it was treated? Do you know anything at all about that?
I do not. That's just.
And what about Zay? What do you know about his injury? When it was detected?
Don't know. So I guess that's.
So why would you raise that question? I don't know why you'd even bring that up. Why would you bring that up?
Because we have two players getting injured at the end of the season, or identifying major injuries at the end of the season, and didn't hear about it previously. I'm just wondering about that.
I'll say this, Robert. Just remember that these guys, and I think I said this last week, players are under so much pressure to stay on the field, and that's because you have younger guys that are coming in every year. The team is out on the streets bringing guys in. I mean, every week they have guys in there trying out, doing different things. So when you see that as a player on the team, you have the mindset of, I have to be able to play through, and you've been taught since you were young. Football players are tough. You have to be able to play through injury. The best ability is availability. You can't make the club in the tub. I mean, we've heard all of these different sayings, and this comes from the coaches. It comes from just throughout history. You've heard people say that. So when you have that mindset as a player yourself, I mean, we don't even know, to be honest with you, we don't even know if these players even – I mean, I went through things that I didn't even tell the training staff that I was going through because I didn't want them to sit me down. That happens, and we don't know.
Sounds
when.
Sounds like that's what happened with Zay Jones, quite frankly. He didn't tell anybody.
He didn't tell anybody. And I mean, Zay Jones was going through a season where he didn't have the best season. Let's just say that. He had a lot of drop passes and different things like that. So, of course, he doesn't want to come off the field because he has the fear that they're going to get somebody else in there. I won't play again, and then they're going to label me as a bust. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to just play through this stuff. So we don't know when the players, when Zay Jones or when Eric Wood, if they said anything to this training staffs at all after the season, let's go ahead and get this addressed.
No, we don't. And that goes to Robert's question, why I asked him the question, what does he know about it? We don't know. And I don't know if maybe they've been aware for years that Eric Wood had this condition that would eventually, lead to the decision that he made last week. Maybe they've known that for a year. Maybe they've known it for the last 3 months of the season. I don't know the answer to that question. But to immediately throw shade on the medical treatment and the treatment of the training staff, I think is ridiculous. I think it's preposterous. When you don't know, you know, if something comes out that something was screwed up, that's a different story. But I don't know how you get to that. How do you get to that? How do you get to the point, what are we talking about? Someone's got to be fired. You know, that's like the default position. I think we have a call on the line from Robert in Buffalo. Hello, Robert. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call today.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Go ahead, Robert.
I just wanted to ask your guys' thoughts, maybe get your opinion on if you think maybe now this weighs in on the Kyle Williams decision. I know the two were close. They Had a bit of a tradition going golfing together before camp. So now with, you know, Eric Wood maybe out of the picture now, does this change or maybe make a decision for Kyle or play into it at all?
It could play into it. I'm not going to lie about that. I mean, players have certain guys on the team that might talk you into coming back, or certain guys that you're so used to being around that, man. I mean, when you talk to a player, if you ever hear a player say one thing that they miss once they retire, typically it's my teammates. It's not even the game itself. You never really hear a player say, man, I miss working out. That none of that matters. I miss my teammates in the locker room. And so, yeah, that can play into it, but I don't think that's going to be the biggest piece of Kyle's decision if he wants to come back or not. I don't think it's going to be if Eric Wood – well, now the fact that Eric Wood is not going to be here. I think Kyle is going to make that decision based on how he feels after the season, how he thinks this team is – if this team is going to take a major step back or if they're still going on the uptick. I mean, there are a lot of different things. And then you have the money. That's the biggest reason.
Got a couple of tweets here in relation to that last call. Seamus tweets in, John, too bad you're not the one leaving the show. Condescending and rude. Bill H., John, you're a word. Brandon, let Donald answer the questions. You're mean to the callers. Make them feel stupid for asking something. Look, if the questions are stupid, I'm going to – I guess I will make you feel stupid. I don't try to, but when the question is – we've got two – by the way, the Bills' injuries are not bad compared to a lot of other teams.
This year was a lot better.
Do you want to handle all the calls? Maybe
no,
I'm not equipped
you got
for this.
It.
When the questions are stupid, what am I supposed to do, nod? You're right. No, you're wrong sometimes, callers. You're wrong. Sometimes you're off base. I'm not being mean. I'm not being condescending. I just sometimes they're wrong. I don't have to agree with the callers, do I?
No.
Do you agree with the callers?
No, I mean –
What's your secret? How do you handle the callers better than I do? I don't get it.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Callers,
I'm trying not to be mean.
The callers are my friends.
Well, sure, I'm glad when people call, but if they say something that's way off the mark, I don't even say stupid, but way off the mark, I'll probably call you out on it. I probably will.
You can't make everybody happy.
You're right, especially on Twitter. 803-0550, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Tom in North Tonawanda. Go ahead, Tom. Hello, Tom.
Hey, great job you guys do, John. And
well, thank you, Tom. That's you stand in opposition to some earlier people, but
thank
go
you.
Ahead.
when Eric Wood first took over at center, I believe there was an injury to a center, as Ryan Fitzpatrick was the quarterback at the time. There was like an instant camaraderie between Eric and Fitz, and it was awesome to see. And Eric being so solid at this position, and when I heard the report that there was an injury, I says, well, it can't be Eric or Incognito because they're getting ready to go to the Pro Bowl. I guess Eric was alternate and, you know, is still waiting the word to see if that center that had the injured hip was still going to be able to go or not. And then, I mean, I know injury can occur at any time, but it was really – sad to see anybody get hurt, especially a tragic, you know, serious ending injury to a career. But what a great guy, great team leader on the field as well. I mean, I don't know in the locker room, but just seeing him on the field and so inspirational to the other teammates and going to be sorely missed, but what a great guy, John.
Yeah, no question. A great guy, a good teammate, as Donald can attest, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, his, you know, and it's one thing he is respected, you know, in the locker room, in the organization, but he does have a great deal of respect outside the organization, Donald. And there are folks who've been invited to today's news conference that Eric, you know, helped along the way, off field work,
yeah.
And that's been pretty well documented. But yeah, I mean, there's a reason why he is so highly regarded. A lot of it has to do with his persona, his demeanor in the locker room, the teammate that he is. But a lot of it also is what he does in the community.
Yeah, what he does in the community is huge. And for any player, if you're the one that's getting out there in the community, it's hard because depending on who you are, I mean, if you're a guy who has a lot of star power and you're being pulled in a gazillion different ways, it's hard sometimes to get out there in the community. The only time you have to do it is in the off season. Eric is a guy who was consistently in the community doing different events, and that was a great thing. So he is highly regarded. around this community. And then I think he's also high, and we talked about him being highly regarded within the locker room, guys who have played with him. But I think Eric Wood has been a consistent player for the last 9 years. I mean, he's had a couple of injuries, but for the most part, players around the league, and the Bills haven't been a team that's been getting a lot of press or any of that stuff, haven't been in the playoffs until this year. But there are a couple of guys that if you talk to players around the league from this team that they would talk about. And it would be Kyle, it would be Eric, that they would say, man, I mean, there are LeSean, of course, a couple of guys that they would bring those names up. Like, man, them dudes been doing it for a little while now. Quiet, but they've been getting it done for a little while and been consistently on the field for that team.
Eric Wood's news conference, we're going to carry it live at 1 o'clock for you, and we'll get reaction after that as we work our way up to 3. But coming up next, we'll talk about the Senior Bowl. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com was there. We all watched the game on Saturday, many of us, and we'll talk about some of the impressions formed after the Senior Bowl. That's coming up next. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio in Orchard Park. We're taking your phone calls with mixed results, talking about the news of the day.
Let me insert an editorial comment here.
Well, Murph throws shade, like subtle shade in there.
I don't think there was anything subtle about that one.
True.
I'm in a good mood. No one's going to ruin that. Chris Brown joins us in studio, the Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, fresh off his trip to Mobile, Alabama. We talked to him about the Senior Bowl during the week last week, and now we have the Senior Bowl game. We'll get Chris's thoughts on the actual game played Saturday afternoon down at Ladd Peebles Stadium. But, Chris, we're all getting ready before we get to the Senior Bowl, to the 1 o'clock Eric Wood news conference. And, you know, everybody feels bad about this, the way it's played out, but there's also some questions to be asked, as an earlier caller alluded to in a ham-handed way. But questions about, you know, basically what Eric Wood, what his status was. How long was he injured? I guess my question to you, Chris, to what extent will some of these questions be answered today about his actual injury, who knew about it, and how it was treated, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably up to Eric. I mean, it's his personal medical file, so he'll open it up as much as he feels comfortable in doing. But on the surface, this sounds largely like a wear and tear type injury over the years. You think about him being I think he was a 3-year starter at Louisville, and then, you know, he was pretty much a starter from the day he walked in the door here at One Bills Drive, the first 2 years at guard, the rest after that at center. I mean, that's a lot of wear and tear on the body in general. So to hear that, you know, this career-ending neck injury is due to wear and tear is not surprising. You know, but really it's up to Eric as far as how much light he wants to shed on it. I'm sure he'll provide a little more detail today, but how far he goes is completely up to him and certainly well within his rights.
What questions do you have for Eric about, again, obviously his career will be discussed and dissected at today's news conference, but about this incident, about this forced retirement, what would you like to know about it? What's on your mind about it?
Just how off guard he was caught, because I talked to him in locker cleanout day. I mean, I used the quote in the story I wrote for BuffaloBills.com. He had every intention of playing in 2018, just looking at his comments when we interviewed him, you know, when the media interviewed him in the locker room, you know, the day after the loss to Jacksonville in the wild card game. He said, I'm excited for 2018. I mean, that's not somebody that's getting ready to end their career. So I think the findings of the exit physical were not yet known at that point in time and obviously came to light soon thereafter. And, you know, from that point, you know, his future changed dramatically, because everything that he's known for the better part of the last decade in terms of a profession were, for all intents and purposes, over because of a physical ailment that was not going to be corrected via surgery and could not be corrected via rehab. And I want to get his thoughts on the abrupt ending of his career. I mean, this is a sport where on any given play, your career can be over. But this is the reality of it. And after what they had accomplished this past season, I'm sure he felt like, hey, you know, we're on the cusp of something here. I want to see it through. And now he doesn't have the opportunity to do that. I got to imagine that's got to be very difficult to take on, process, and then live with.
I mean, when you're little and you play football, and a lot of people have played sports, you dream about playing in the NFL. Now, he accomplished that dream. For 9 years, he got to play in the NFL, right? But when you get there, you know, like Brownie was just saying, you know that you're one hit away from this thing being over. But this is why when you see players actually get hurt, like LeSean McCoy, who got hurt in the game, there are certain things that go through your mind at that point in time where you're not sure if is this career ending or not. You just don't know, will I be the same player or not? So for a guy like Eric, I mean, I'm just totally speculating here. I would think that his neck was probably hurting him, but it wasn't something that he thought he wouldn't be able to get corrected.
Yeah.
You go through this thing and you're like, oh, I'll get that surgery. I'll get that fixed up in the offseason. I'll come back next year and I'm fine. So whatever pain, and players go play through so much different pain, so many different things throughout the courses of seasons, you're like, I'll go get it fixed up in the offseason and I'll be fine. I'll get it fixed and I'll be fine. And then this one comes and they're like, yeah, you probably can't get this one fixed. You're probably done. So it just catches you so off guard that you're like, whoa, I didn't expect that. I mean, I totally would think that this is something he's been dealing with and he thought he'd be able to, you know, with some time it would heal, or in the offseason I can get surgery and I'll be ready to go next year for 2018 and build on this playoff year that we just had. And oh, now the doctors are saying I can't go anymore.
I wonder, Chris, and we do want to talk about Senior Bowl, but Eric Wood's departure, you know, leaves a lot of holes, certainly in the community. They have to find someone to play center, whether it's Ryan Groy or somebody else. But it leaves a leadership void, too, especially on the offensive side of the ball, right?
Yes, it does. I mean, that's a side of the ball that's probably going to go undergo some measure of change this offseason. And, you know, they're not chock full of veterans on that side of the ball. There could be a change at quarterback. That could take a potential leader out of the mix. It would certainly usher in a new one, but one that would be new to the group if they decide to go that route. Obviously, Eric is now out of the mix. LeSean McCoy is probably your veteran leader on that side of the ball right now. I know a lot of people consider Richie Incognito a veteran who knows the game and can dispense valuable advice, especially for linemen. You know, whether he is a guy that can fill some of that leadership void, I think remains to be seen. But it's you're not chock full of leaders on that side of the ball. And I know Coach McDermott always talks about, and did talk about a lot in his first year, about grooming the next wave of leaders. And it's for instances like this, because sometimes there are players that you relied heavily upon the previous season that suddenly are not there the next season, either because they're a cap casualty or in this kind of a situation because of some unforeseen injury that cuts a career short. And you have to have guys ready to step in and fill. But on that side of the ball, they're a little thin in that area. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And it's not something that's going to happen instantaneously. It's something that's going to kind of manifest itself over the course of several months here. We're talking off-season conditioning program, OTAs, mini camp, training camp, and that's where you kind of see new leadership rise to the surface.
Sometimes it takes years to develop that kind of leadership.
Well, sometimes right? It does, yeah.
It does.
You hear the old saying all the time, leaders are born, not made. I don't know if that's completely accurate. There are people that have inherent leadership capabilities, but I think the right people in the right situation with the right kind of role on this team can grow into leaders as well.
You'd have to imagine, when you look back to them actually, and now I'm going to get into Ryan Groy, you look back to why they actually, when they brought him back, they matched that offer sheet to bring him back here. He ended up really just being the backup this entire year. But these are the things that coaches have to think about. You got to think about succession plans for each position, okay? Who's going to be the next guy to fill in if right. You go down during the course of a season or in the offseason where next year we need somebody else to fill in. Now, they could go out, and we're going to get into your Senior Bowl stuff, but they can go out and they can draft one. They can bring somebody in through free agency. But I would imagine that Ryan Groy would be the first candidate to step in, knowing that he stepped in at that position and played some significant time here in the past.
Right. I don't think there's any question about that. He would be the odds-on favorite, you know, from the jump. And I was very impressed with what he did in 2016. Those last seven games that he stepped in for Eric. First of all, stepping in, you know, with a quarter and a half left in that game in Seattle back in week 11. What was that, a Sunday night game or a Monday night game?
Monday night.
And, you know, that was an intense, physical, hard-hitting football game. He stepped in, and he helped that offense, and they had a chance at the end of that game to win that thing.
Right.
So I don't think they really missed a beat there. And for the last seven games, I thought he – you know, I talked to teammates up and down that line on that offensive unit, and they said, no, you know, Ryan knew his stuff. We were ready every week. All the calls, you know, almost 100% were good. They were the right call at the right time. So, you know, I think he's a guy that's ready to step into that role. I'm automatically assuming that there is going to be competition because Coach McDermott doesn't like to hand anything to anybody. But, yes, I mean, the odds-on favorite right away. A guy with game experience, a guy who knows these teammates that he'll be lining up with in large part just by virtue of the fact that he was here last year, played with a good number of those guys the year before. So, I mean, he just makes way too much sense to not be considered the odds-on favorite to assume that role.
We're with Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, in studio with us. We're going to carry the Eric Wood News Conference coming up at 1 o'clock. Chris is just back from the Senior Bowl, and the Senior Bowl game was Saturday. And I thought, let me be clear about this, Chris. I don't think Josh Allen was the best player in the game Saturday. It certainly, he wasn't. You were there. You know, you told us pretty emphatically he was not anywhere near the best player during the course of the week.
Right.
But I do think he had an interesting day Saturday in the game with kind of a rough start, exited the game, and came, asked to come back and play pretty well. I was intrigued by his whole game Saturday.
His week got better as it went along. I still don't think it reached the expectations of you know, the hype that he came in with. The physical tools are all there. I don't think there's any debate about that. You know, he's got elite physical tools, elite measurables, elite arm, but I just think he's a guy that's going to need a lot of reps before you get the consistency from him that you want at the NFL level. And that's why I'll say again what I said when I was on the air with you guys on Thursday. You better be completely confident in the teaching abilities of your offensive and development abilities of your offensive coordinator and your quarterback's coach if you want this kid to hit his ceiling. If you don't have that, I don't know that you make the investment because you're never going to get everything out of him that you think he can be. And that's not a knock on Josh Allen. Right. I think he does have good intangibles. He is a worker, but you better have good development characteristics on your offensive staff if you're going to get out of him what you want. And here's the other thing that I don't think should be dismissed. We saw a lot of big plays in this Senior Bowl game on Saturday. And I think there's the major reason for that is not because of the talent of the quarterbacks. I think the wide receiver group this year far outweighed the level of talent at the cornerback position and the safety position at the Senior Bowl this year. There were a lot of small school prospects on the defensive back unit. There were a lot of lesser prospects in the defensive back unit, chiefly at corner. And I think the wide receivers completely outshined them through the course of the practice week. And I think that, you know, showed itself in the game on Saturday as well. There was big time separation. Guys were getting behind defenders relatively easy, and that's why it was a big play show that it was, which certainly makes the Senior Bowl organizers happy. They want big plays. They want exciting plays. But the talent at receiver and at tight end, for that matter, far outweighed the talent at defensive back and at linebacker.
Getting back to Josh Allen, and here's a question for both of you guys. Do you feel like we are putting too much pressure on these quarterbacks to come in and perform right away, because we've had some guys do it in the past, guys that have been drafted and come in and just blow it up in their first year? Do we put too much pressure on these young guys to come in and perform right away instead of just thinking, okay, you can draft this kid in the next, you know, however many years, 3, 4, 5 years, he'll be your franchise quarterback? Yeah. I think we just put too much pressure on these young guys.
Yeah, look, I when Chris said Josh Allen's going to need a year or two of development and coaching and teaching, I'm okay with that. I'm not advocating Josh Allen, but I don't mind having quarterbacks that take a couple of years. They're all not Carson Wentz.
Right.
I mean, Jared Goff had to basically sit for a year. But I think Josh Allen is intriguing because of the tangible stuff, the size and the arm strength, and you know, the accuracy is going to be an issue. But, yeah, he might be worth investing a year or two. The problem is people talk about him being pushed up to one of the top four quarterbacks drafted. I don't know if I would – I don't know if I'd draft him in the first half of the first round.
And there's another layer to that problem, too. Coaches are getting fired after 2 years on the job. Right. They don't have time to wait on development. And then secondarily, with the new practice rules, you don't get the time on the field to develop right. your second quarterback or your rookie quarterback. Mm-hmm. And if he's a third quarterback, forget it. I mean, he's not doing much more than holding a clipboard because he's just not getting the reps. So this is a quarterback that I believe is going to need reps. Yeah. And unless you have a dynamic in your practice system and your installation system and developmental system, you know, if you don't have that, you're not going to get the best Josh Allen. So you may consider other options, more NFL-ready options. Because even though this kid played in a pro system, I just don't see the consistency there right now. And again, he got better as the week went on, but still, we're not talking 3 out of 4 plays. We went from, you know, 1 out of 15 to maybe 1 out of every 8 or 9 plays where you're saying, wow, that's a great play. Yeah. Well, that's not going to get it done in the NFL because you're punting twice if you're doing
ratio.
That.
Hey, Chris, we got to let you go. You got to cover Eric's news conference. Thanks for coming by.
Sure.
We appreciate it. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, wrapping up Senior Bowl week, Senior Bowl game. Donald and I back with more in a moment with Eric Wood's news conference coming up live at 1, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
All right, thanks to Chris Brown for joining us to recap the Senior Bowl and preview the Eric Wood news conference that is moments away. We'll carry it live. Bills center Eric Wood announcing his retirement formally after the news was tweeted out by Eric last Friday afternoon. We'll hear Eric's comments and then have some post-announcement reaction coming up here on the show over the next couple of hours. Meantime, we want to know about your weekend. It was a weekend without meaningful football. So what, if anything, did you watch this weekend? That's our Twitter poll. Senior Bowl, Pro Bowl, both. Something else tweeted in for us now on Twitter so far with about 600 votes in. 2/3 of you say you watched something else. You didn't watch any of this. 15% say you watched the Pro Bowl yesterday. 12% said you watched the Senior Bowl on Saturday. 8% of you, you are the diehards, say you watched both this week. Let us know what you think. Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Tom calling from Geneseo. Go ahead, Tom. You're on the air.
Hey, John and Don. John, don't get all condescending on me, but I'm about to say something stupid.
Don't make it too stupid, Tom. I might have to.
Okay. My friends and I had a Pro Bowl watching party.
That's kind of stupid, Tom.
Hear me out now.
Okay.
I've been married to a girl from Boston now for umpteen years, and the last 18 years have been hellacious.
And the marriage or the football part of the marriage?
No, the marriage is fine.
Okay, I'm trying to save you here, Tom.
Yeah, no, she doesn't listen. It's okay. but the thing is that, you know, last two Patriot Super Bowls, we had parties, and we were excited because it looked like they were going to go down. And the whole nature of a party is to have fun at the end.
Right.
And they just rip your heart out. So we thought that the having a party for the Pro Bowl was a low stress sort of way to have a fun party, and Shady scored, and Richie was there, and we had a great party for a change, and now we're not even going to watch the Super Bowl.
Wow, you're not going to watch the game at all.
Well, you know what's going to happen. I'm not going to watch. I'm going to hear that the Eagles are ahead at halftime.
You'll get sucked into it.
I'm going to see a call by an official that's going to make me upset, and then you know what happens at the end.
All right. Excellent, Tom. Sounds like that was a good party. Thanks very much for chiming in. What did you watch this weekend? We will revisit that discussion as the afternoon moves along. Moments away from Eric Wood's news conference. We'll carry it live when we return. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive here at 1 o'clock. We're moments away from Eric Wood's news conference. Wood announced on Twitter Friday that a neck injury will force him to retire. The 9-year veteran said that the injury was diagnosed in a season-ending physical and that he will not be cleared to play football. Eric Wood's news conference coming up. Several former and current teammates in the house, and we'll get reaction from them as well as the afternoon rolls along. We will carry the Eric Wood news conference live moments from now. LeSean McCoy, playing in his 6th Pro Bowl, found the end zone yesterday in the Pro Bowl. First stop of the end zone during the All-Star game. He finished with 3 carries, 7 yards, and the 1 touchdown. He only had 3 touches of the ball, but He was the AFC's leading rusher in a come-from-behind win for the AFC over the NFC. From the Senior Bowl, reports are that quarterback Baker Mayfield met extensively with the Buffalo Bills. That's according to Robert Klemko of SI.com. Two of the other teams he met with at length were the Jets and the Dolphins. Mayfield likely not to be the only quarterback that the Bills meet with between now and the draft in late April. The Eagles landed in Minnesota yesterday. The Philadelphia Eagles team plane touched down at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport ahead of Super Bowl 52. Championship game coming up Sunday, February 4th at U.S. Bank Stadium. The Eagles and Patriots coming up. Patriots are on their way to Minnesota now after a brief rally at their stadium in Foxborough. Tom Brady had his 12 stitches removed from his right hand late last week, and Brady should be good to go. And tight end Rob Gronkowski practiced for the second straight day yesterday. He remains, however, in concussion protocol. Josh McDaniels, offensive coordinator for the Patriots, met late over the weekend with the Indianapolis Colts, scheduled to be named their head coach coming up shortly after the game. Sabres back from the All-Star break, practicing at Harbor Center this afternoon, looking to pick up where they left off with three straight wins in their Western Canada road trip. And the Sabres have a busy month at KeyBank Center, 9 of 14 games in February on home ice, and it starts with the game tomorrow night at home against the New Jersey Devils. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Donald Jones coming to you from our One Buffalo studio. On the other side of the wall, the media has assembled, guests and invited guests, and Bills staffers have assembled as we get set for Eric Wood's news conference. We've got to be minutes away from that. We'll carry it for you live. And we'll get to it in a couple of minutes. But during the break, Donald, you went out and saw a couple of former teammates, huh?
I saw a couple of former teammates. The entire scouting staff was out there. A lot of people out there. I talked to one of the scouts. I'm like, hey, man, you guys not out on the road? He was like, nah, man, we're back right now. This just gave me an excuse to get dressed. I haven't been dressed in a little while. I've just been in Bill's sweats and stuff like that. I'm like, wow. But it was good. It's good to see Fitz and Garrison Sanborn and a couple of the guys who are on the team now. It's kind of like a little reunion.
Yeah. You saw Fitz. Fitz is out there.
Fitz is out there.
And maybe in here after a little.
Yeah. We're going to get him in here. Talk a little bit about – he started joking, of course, like Fitz would joke.
Oh, yes.
He said, you know, I'm going to see if I can still – if I'll get resigned or whatever the case may be. But he was like, I'm going to take notes on this whole retirement thing, but I don't really know where I do it.
Fitz said that?
Yeah. He was like, I got seven different options.
Is he thinking of soon retirement?
Well, he wants to play another year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He wants to play another year. And then he said, but I'm going to take notes and see what's up, but I don't know where I do it, though. I got seven different options.
Where do you think – I wonder what most of America who thinks about this stuff, who do they consider as Ryan Fitzpatrick's team? The Jets?
I don't think
– The Bills?
I don't know. Maybe the Bills.
Maybe the Bills. Maybe the Jets.
Maybe
the
Jets.
He had that run there where he was playing pretty well and they were going pretty good. Should have made the playoffs. 2015, was it?
We get him on air. Let's ask him.
I'll ask him that.
I mean, he can't really. He's in Buffalo. But when I first saw him, he's like, man, this is kind of weird being back in this place.
He's been a lot of time here.
Yeah.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, we hope to get him on the show. We will carry Eric Wood's news conference coming up in a couple of minutes. In the meantime, we'll engage with you about your football weekend. Was there anything to watch? Did you watch the Senior Bowl? Did you watch the Pro Bowl? Did you watch both? Did you watch neither? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Or we can do it on Twitter. A couple of tweets. Mike Crosby tweets in, went to the Pro Bowl in Orlando, left our seats right before the deluge of rain came and went back downtown to continue Sunday fun day. Did it rain in the game yesterday? I didn't notice.
Yeah, it did. That's Orlando, though.
Yeah.
That's Florida. It'll rain on you quick. Downpour for 15 minutes, and you're like, ah. And then all of a sudden, the sun comes back up, and then it's just humid.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Lead the Stampedes tweet. Watch most of the Senior Bowl to watch the quarterbacks mostly. And that's what I did, too. I watched I think I watched most of the Senior Bowl up until, you know, deep into the third quarter. He went on to say, caught the third quarter of the Pro Bowl enough to see Shady score, and then switched over for the NHL All-Star game to watch Jack. Kind of a boring sports weekend, he says, but I guess we'll take what football I can get. August is far away. That's the thing.
The NHL All-Star game was this
yesterday.
Weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
That's the bad thing about this past weekend and Senior Bowl, Pro Bowl. To me, it reminds me of, man, we got one game and then the long dark night.
I'm telling
night,
you, it's
takes forever.
It does take forever. Once football season is over, And then it's like we have the entire month of February where you're really just – you're watching college basketball. I mean, that's what it is at this point. You're just watching college basketball. And for me, I don't get into college basketball until March Madness, until that first week of March, and I'm like, yes. Or the first week of March Madness, and then I'm like, yes, all right. And now it's something exciting. And then once that is over, then it's like the NBA, I don't want really get into that until the playoffs.
That's why you got to go to live college basketball games.
You're right.
Yeah, that's why I went to Canisius Niagara. Weird game Saturday night. 105 points scored by Niagara on Canisius home floor. Strange game. Strange game. And then I watched my buddy
at
Damon College come back from like 23 points down to make it a 2-point game. Crazy game. I saw a lot of weird college basketball, but it's good. It cleanses my.
Cleanses
sports.
Cleanses your spirit.
Yes, it does. We're going to get into some phone calls here. I will offer this warning that if Eric Wood steps to the podium, we're going to go to it live. I'll try not to be condescending or rude, but we will cut you off if Eric Wood's ready to go. John calling from Webster. Hello, John. You're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Hey, John, please don't dismiss me.
I won't. I won't be condescending, rude, or dismissive. But if Eric Wood's at the podium, I will.
Right, that's okay. Donald, I think if you grew up an hour from Syracuse, your feeling on college basketball would be completely different.
You could, I guess you can make that argument.
You grew up, what, 5 minutes from Seton Hall? Doesn't that count?
Yeah.
No.
I mean.
How far to Seton Hall from?
It's not the same.
20 minutes.
20 minutes from Seton Hall.
20 minutes with lights.
10 right. minutes to Rutgers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I grew up a Big East fan, though. Don't I just, as I've gotten older, I've kind of gotten out of watching it during the season. I watch it once we get to March Madness.
Okay.
Right. All right. So, really the reason for my call, does the Eric Wood retirement really change the outlook on the draft? And what would be the status? Is Ryan Groy the kind of plug-in fit there? I mean, I know he played there more or, you know, was a rotational guy when Eric Wood was hurt. You know, is that the plug-in fit?
I would say, yeah, John, for now. I think he's the guy who you can plug in there. He's been with this group for the last couple of years. So I don't think you'd have and he stepped in 2016 and did a very good job. So I don't think you'd have a fall off or anything like that if you have to plug Ryan Groy in there. I still think that they would draft one. You asked, does that change the draft outlook? I think, yeah, you can draft one, but I don't know if the center position is a position you want to talk about in the early rounds.
Early, yeah.
Not in the early rounds.
We're going to hopefully get a chance to talk to Ryan Groy later this week and get his take on this. And I do think he's the logical choice. I think, you know, Eric Wood's departure creates a bit of a void. I think it might be as much of a leadership void as it is a actual on-field playing role. Mm-hmm. But I think they can address that. I don't know if it would change the draft priority, right? And we're kind of
early.
Still in the process. I feel we are. And they even admitted last week at the Senior Bowl, you know, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, that they, too, are in the process of kind of setting up what do we need. Let's evaluate our talent.
Right.
But I think we know who we're talking about. We're talking about quarterbacks, right? We're talking about reinforcements on defense, front seven on defense, linebackers and defensive linemen. We're talking about maybe, I mean, I guess prior to this, I would have said number one priority on the offensive line might be a tackle. Now, maybe this changes that a little bit.
This could change that a little bit. But I think in the draft, you're still looking quarterback, you're still looking defensive front, and you're still looking wide receiver. Speed threat at the wide receiver position. I think that those are your main things. This would kind of be one of those later picks because I think you're going to just plug Ryan. I think they're going to plug Ryan Groy in there, take another guy later in the draft and say you can learn behind a Ryan Groy for the next couple of years and then step in if something happens. But we all know that Coach McDermott is not going to draft a guy just because he can play center. He's going to draft a guy who has played up and down the offensive line. And then you can work on playing center once you get here. But we're going to play you at a bunch of different positions, and you'll be a key backup on this team.
Yeah, I don't know if it changes that. And I don't know if, like you said, you draft a center with a first-round pick. The Bills did with Eric Wood late in the first round. Actually, they probably thought of him more as a guard back then.
Right, right. I think this is a different regime. I think they draft guys based on versatility. So I don't think, oh, we need to draft a center now. No, we probably need to get some depth on the offensive line. Let's take a guy, not early, let's take a guy who can play up and down the offensive line, and one day he can become a center in this offense.
Yeah. A call here from Dave in Williamsville. Hello, Dave. Welcome.
Well, hi there. How are you, John?
Good, Dave. Thank you.
I got a comment about Chris Brown's observations on the quarterback at the, I think it was the Senior Bowl, the kid from Wyoming.
Yeah.
And it made me bristle a little bit. I have to be honest. I have a lot of respect for Chris, of course. He's a very knowledgeable guy. I don't want to hear about a quarterback's physical tools and how great he is with an arm. He's strong. He's this. He's that. I heard that about E.J. Manuel, and he couldn't hit an elephant at 15 yards.
Man.
Does the kid throw accurately? That's what I want to know.
Well, Chris, I think, has said over the last week several times that he does not throw an accurate football. Didn't you say that and watch him practice last week? And that was on display in the game on Sunday as well. If you're,
yeah, but Chris Brown did a disservice to everybody by saying he needs reps. You can't teach accuracy, John.
Well, I disagree respectfully and politely that Chris Brown did a disservice to anybody.
I like he did that respectfully and politely.
He's given you, and I think, an honest evaluation of what Josh Allen needs. Should we not discuss Josh Allen because he needs reps?
Well, how many reps did E.J. Manuel get, John?
Why so contentious? Yeah. He got a lot of reps. What's your point?
He's trying to pull it out of you, Murph. He's trying to pull it out of you.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dave. I want you to have your say.
All right. What I'm saying to you, and I don't mean to be contentious. I mean to be passionate because I'm a passionate fan.
To the point where we can't even discuss Josh Allen as a potential prospect?
Well, okay, we can discuss Josh Allen.
Okay.
Of course you can. Of course you can, John, and I'm not that unreasonable. But the fact remains, when a guy goes on the radio and tells the fans about all the physical tools that Josh Allen has, when I've heard it all about E.J. Manuel and how fast he was, how big he was, what kind of a rocket arm he had, and he couldn't hit an elephant at 10 yards.
Yeah. That was 15 yards a couple of minutes ago. E.J. got worse.
Hey, Dave. he got worse.
E.J., how many balls did E.J. Manuel throw into the stands? Now, come on.
I'm trying to think of one.
Dave, look, you're right. I mean, you're totally right about this. I mean, what do we hear about? We've heard so many quarterbacks that have come out and they say, man, this dude's accuracy is unbelievable. Mel Kiper said he quit if Jimmy Clausen didn't become a starter in 8 years. Yeah. And he hasn't. He still hasn't quit yet. But, I mean, we don't know about these guys. These guys might have been accurate in college, and they're horrible once they get to the NFL, or vice versa. They might not have been that good in terms of accuracy in college, and then when they get here, it's like, man, this dude is accurate. You just don't know, and that's why it's so tough with the draft. It's not an exact science. Based on what a kid was in college, you can say, and what we do know, Dave, is that you draft a guy based on potential, based on upside. And that's why you hear so many of these guys with the big rocket arms be drafted so high, because they're big, they have the big arm, because coaches and scouts feel like, and GMs feel like, we can teach this guy different things. He can work in this offense, but at least he has the tools, the rocket arm and everything to work with.
Yeah.
If you don't have that, we have nothing to work with.
Thank you, Dave. It's I mean, I get your point, and you're obviously not a fan of E.J. Manuel. I don't know that anybody other than you, I haven't heard anybody make that comparison, E.J. Manuel and Josh Allen. And Chris certainly was not advocating for Josh Allen. He was simply pointing out that there's a reason why Josh Allen he's probably going to be one of the top quarterbacks chosen.
He is.
And it's because of his size and his arm strength and his potential, not his accuracy, for certain, not his potential. Accuracy. You're right about that.
It's all potential. I mean, Pat Mahomes was drafted last year based on his size and potential. The dude played in a spread-out offense where all he did was throw deep balls and shallow crossers. That was it, and like screen routes out to the wide receivers. But because he's so big, because he had the big arm, the Chiefs decided they wanted to trade up 17 spots to get him. So, I mean, that's what you draft guys on, potential. You don't know what they're going to end up being once they get here, but you're drafting them based on the tools that they have.
I was thinking about this. And it's beginning, again, early in the draft process. We are right now, and I was thinking about this draft class and watching the Senior Bowl Saturday, looking at Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen and then the rest of them who were just okay, and knowing that, you know, Darnold and Rosen are out there, obviously, and thinking this is going to be one of those years where there's such pressure to draft a quarterback, somebody's going to reach. Somebody's going to draft a guy who doesn't belong in the top half of the draft, doesn't belong in the top 10 pick, but they're probably going to go, and maybe all four go
in
the top 10, or at least the top half of the draft. Probably going to be somebody's going to regret that with this group, I think.
Somebody, because
there are flaws. You know, there is no – I mean, at the time, I guess we knew that Carson Wentz and Jared Goff were good, But they weren't total locks like everybody said. They're going to, you know, surefire. But compared to this group, they're head and shoulders above what's in this group, it seems to me, this year.
Yeah, I think they're definitely ahead of what you had last year. But I think that the teams, the GMs, the coaches are so thirsty for a quarterback. You get fired if you don't draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen it in Cleveland. They draft the quarterback after quarterback after quarterback, and they get fired because you missed on a guy. And they passed up on Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, and what happened? You're out of here. You passed up on two guys that have now looking like they could be franchise quarterbacks for the next decade and a half for their teams. I mean, that's why, as a GM, it's a huge decision that you have to make. But we know it's the most important position in football, and if you feel like, man, this dude has the tools that I can work with. If we get the right quarterback coaches in here and he ends up in the right system, we can work with that. They're going to take that guy, because if you pass up on him and he becomes a sure franchise quarterback somewhere else, you get fired for that. So that's why they end up drafting these guys high in the first round.
We are in a holding pattern waiting for word on Eric Wood. 15 minutes after the hour, Wood's news conference scheduled to start any minute now. In the meantime, we'll take your phone calls, 803-0550, and toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. You can weigh in on our Twitter poll, which deals with your football weekend this past weekend. Did you watch anything? Did you watch Senior Bowl? Did you watch Pro Bowl? Did you watch both? Did you watch neither? Did you watch something else? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. On Twitter, we've got the poll up. Most of you chose to watch something else. Two-thirds, 66%, watch something besides the Senior Bowl and the Pro Bowl. What'd you watch? Gumby?
Yeah. You know. I tell you, I watched this movie with my son on Lifetime.
What'd you watch?
It was a movie on Lifetime. Would you be Lifetime. Like, Lifetime?
I am. I'm doing it right now. Lifetime?
Lifetime? No, it was a good movie. It was based on a true story about this kid that walked into school and wanted to kill everybody in the school. Oof. And my son, for some reason, he wanted to watch this because they do these drills in school. And he's like, Daddy, I want to watch this movie. And so he had me watch it.
How was it?
It was a good movie.
Okay.
It was based on a true story in Atlanta.
Okay.
It's a good one.
So Donald goes under the other category. Let us know what you think about that. We're going to break here a little bit early because Eric Wood's news conference is coming up. We want to carry that for you live. So come on back. As soon as he gets to the podium, we'll get it to you. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Thanks for tuning in. Waiting on Eric Wood, Bill's retiring center. He's scheduled to give his news conference. I just checked out in the field house. Everybody's there except Eric. I saw Will Wolford. I saw several former Bills players, and no Eric Wood. I know he's in the building.
We're all getting ready. I got my popcorn ready. I started eating popcorn. We came back on air.
But we'll carry it for you live. The Eric Wood news conference coming up momentarily. We believe, as I said, everybody there except Eric, it seems right now. In the meantime, your thoughts on Eric Wood, your thoughts on your weekend of television without football. What did you watch or anything else? Phone lines open at 803-0550 and toll free outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Here's a call from Mike in Cheektowaga. Hello, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, John, how you doing today?
Great. I'm doing great.
Absolutely love your show.
Thank you, Mike.
You're the best.
We need more callers like you.
DJ Khaled.
More Mike.
I think we're going to miss Eric Wood a lot. Not so much as for his quality play, but also for his team leadership in the locker room and such. But the reason I call, I have a question. Everybody's so concerned about the draft picks and how we're going to maneuver and picking a quarterback. My question I have for you, do you think that, obviously you want a guy who has talent, but do you think that it's the offensive coordinators and the head coaches that actually build a quarterback and make the guy like, oh my God, he's fantastic. You know, I'm sure there's the one guy that comes up that's just the exception to the rule. But, you know, I'm one of those guys that have been watching the Bills since the 60s. And I hate to say this, but I think you got to really trust the process. I think this is the first time we've had a GM and a head coach that really do diligence when they're trying to build the team. And I think that if you just let these guys do their job,
you know, we're going to have a Super Bowl team. You know, we're going to go back to the glory days, and, you know, we'll go 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, and, you know, they'll build us a team. And I guess I just wanted to kind of get your opinion on that, if I'm crazy or if
I mean, it's your question. I just want to be clear. Are you saying coaching and developing is more important than bringing talent onto the roster? Is that essentially what you're saying there, Mike?
I think that if you don't have a good offensive coordinator, he could take the greatest quarterback and destroy him. Yeah, I really think that coaching has a lot to do with the development. You know, I mean, these kids come up out of college, and in college they may be a superstar. Now, all of a sudden, that offensive lineman, he's 6'4 and 360 pounds, and he runs really fast. And he gets paid to make sure that you get hit. Right. So, you know, these guys come out of the huddle, and all of a sudden, where did that defensive back come from? Or, you know, they blitzed from where? Oh, my God, I didn't see that. Right. And I think that an offensive coordinator can get these young guys and say, hey, you know, this defense does this, so you got to do this and this, or you're going to get creamed. You
what
know?
Do you think, Donald? What do you I'm sorry to cut you off there, but what do you think, Donald?
Think that the biggest thing about this coaching staff, the biggest thing about Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean, their philosophy is versatility. And you always hear players need to be versatile, but we know that certain teams draft guys based on the scheme that they are running. And so when you draft a guy based on one scheme, that limits that player in that scheme right there. I think Coach McDermott is a guy who we need guys that can play across the board. We need you to be able to do multiple things because this is football and guys get hurt. If you are playing center right now, we need you to play tackle maybe, and we can bring somebody else to play center. And so when you have that type of mentality, you truly live by that, it allows for you to be able to go through the ups and downs of a season and be able to play through injury. So as he was talking about, just let these guys do what they do best, let them draft their guys, bring their guys in via free agency, we're going to continue to see them bring guys in that are versatile. And I think when you have that, it's better for your team. There's not a huge, huge fall off when a guy goes down because I don't have a guy who can step in at tackle because all he's played is right guard.
Yeah. And I think there's also, and, you know, you always need talent. Always need talent.
Yeah.
But you also need guys who fit, which is what you said. You need, and it, with this group, with this coach and GM combo that that the caller likes so much, you need guys who fit the personality of the team, the chemistry of the team, the culture of the team.
Right.
And that will be a factor. The deciding factor, I don't know. Bean's never had a draft here. Sean has had one. Would that be the ultimate deciding factor on a draft pick?
Yeah, maybe
it's certainly a consideration. How does this guy fit in our locker room? How does he approach his work? Does that override talent? I don't know. We'll find out.
I mean, you want to bring this back up? Last year was who controls the 53. These guys haven't drafted together yet.
Right.
So who's actually the one pulling the strings or pulling the trigger in the draft room? These are still things that, I mean, nobody will ever know, but these are things that they still have to work through. I'm sure they probably already worked through it, but they haven't been in the room together yet. I think that when you talk about this team, we all looked at they made it to the playoffs. But this example of Eric Wood, now he has to retire. This is something else that you – another hole that you have to fill. And I think these guys have to make sure that they do a good job of – and I'm talking about Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean – do a good job of bringing guys in here, more and more guys who are versatile. And that's my biggest thing, bring more and more guys who are versatile for times like this. And if you do that, you will have a team that's consistently around the playoffs. And if you bring guys in who are versatile, it allows, and the caller was talking about developing guys, it allows you to develop more guys.
One more call here before we go to break. Bob and Elma. Hello, Bob. Welcome. You're on the air.
Just one question. How many quarterbacks did Eric Wood give the ball to over his 9 years?
Yeah, it's a good question, Bob, and I saw your call coming up there, and I did a quick survey. This is what I got. This is not official, but I got Fitzpatrick, Trent Edwards. I think he probably snapped to Trent a couple of times. They kind of
– same year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. E.J. Manuel, Jeff Toole, Thad Lewis, Kyle Orton, Tyrod Taylor, Nathan Peterman. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I got 8. Am I missing anybody over those 9 years?
Nobody that I can think of.
What do you think of that? 8. Does that sound about right there, Bob?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I thought there was a few more.
No, 9 years. I mean, I went through while your call was on hold. I don't think I missed anyone. It might have been, you know, shotgun snaps to who's your guy from the Jets who came up here? Wildcat quarterback.
Oh, Brad Smith?
Brad Smith.
Yeah.
Fred maybe took some snaps. But I think those are the actual quarterbacks, those eight guys in 9 years. That's my count. We await Eric Wood's news conference. Should be moments away. We're going to carry it for you live. So we'll get to a break here and come back, and hopefully Eric's getting ready to step to the podium. Maybe he's has second thoughts. No. I don't think that's happening. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Back with more. Still waiting. Holding pattern. Eric Wood, Bill's longtime center. Keeping everybody waiting now, but whatever. It's his prerogative, right? You okay with this, Donald? You wouldn't do this.
I wouldn't do this. I need to talk to him about this.
when he comes to the podium, we'll carry it live for you if you're tuned in on the radio or perhaps tuned in on MSG. You'll be able to see Eric Wood at the podium.
Somebody, Matt Castle, Joe Webb. As you were naming,
yeah, but Castle, did he play in a regular season game?
Mm-hmm.
I guess he took a snap. He didn't throw a pass.
Tyler Thigpen?
Now you're making me look. Yeah, Thigpen is one that I missed. So that's up to 10. Thigpen took some snaps, threw some passes. What year was Castle? 13, 14, 15?
I couldn't tell you.
He must have taken a snap, but he never threw a pass. Right?
Castle?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So he just handed it off?
Yeah.
Took a knee?
Yeah. I don't know. Here is Ken in Buffalo. Hello, Ken. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're okay.
Good.
Good. I'll kind of make it quick because I know you're short on time. Question. When they first came in and they decided to extend or re-sign Eric Wood, thought it was great because there's a guy that kind of deserves it and well-respected, all that kind of thing. But I also thought it was kind of strange because he was kind of an aging guy that had a current contract and didn't really need to be renegotiated. So I'm wondering now that this has happened, how it affects the salary cap, if they get relief on that, if they're stuck holding it, if some of it counts against dead money, that type of thing.
Yeah. The reports were last week it was like $4.8 million in dead cap money.
Okay.
Yeah, and like up to $8 to $10 million of a cap hit next year.
Okay, so I guess the question would be, being that the administration, again, chose to make this move, which I didn't necessarily disagree with, but the administration decided to make a move that didn't need to be moved, and now we're going to be stuck with this type of thing. Is somebody saying, like, hey, maybe this is just another mistake by the front office? You know, they're saying that a lot of it's wear and tear. Well, they decided that an older guy, for whatever reason, some good, some bad, deserves more money. They make this decision. Now we're stuck with the ramifications of it. Does anybody say, hey, did you guys think maybe this wasn't a good move? In hindsight, I know it's easier afterwards. But, again, these questions seem to, with the Pegulas, often to kind of be swept under the rug, and maybe the futility of the hockey and football team might be a reflection of some of these moves, whether it's the GMs of the Sabres or the presidents of the Bills, whatever. Anyways, I appreciate you taking.
Well, Ken, are you asking that question? Is that your point?
I guess I am. Like I said, I love Eric Wood, and I certainly don't think that he's overpaid or whatever, but when they made that move, I thought, okay, he's a little older, and we're restructuring him for no basic reason. What if? And now kind of what if has kind of come to fruition. So who made this decision? And at some point somebody says, maybe this isn't so good. I don't know. I'm just asking.
Well, I don't know. By some point somebody says, are you saying it or not? But
I
get your
know.
Point.
The thing is, Ken, they didn't just make the move. I wouldn't think they just made it because, oh, Eric's this great player. We want to have him around forever. I mean, they make moves like that to ease up on their cap situation. I mean, there are reasons why they will extend a guy. That's why sometimes you'll see them do a 2-year deal instead of a 1-year deal on a guy, because it makes it a little bit easier on the salary cap.
They do it
cap.
For their own benefit sometimes.
Right.
And as I recall, in Eric's case, I don't have 100% recall of this, but I do believe that was part of it. Let's give ourselves some relief and spread out Eric's money a little bit
right.
to 2 years. Yes, there's cap implications. There always is. But I do recall that that was part of the consideration. But, sure, you can ask that question. You're absolutely within your rights. I don't know how it extends to hockey, but, sure, you can ask that question. Chris in West Seneca.
That they have too much on their plate. Because they own the hockey team and the football team.
Are you so asking that question?
No, not me. that's
not
what
either.
He was saying. They had too much on their plate, so they put these GMs in place that aren't making the best decisions.
GM who just got hired last May.
I don't know.
Chris in West Seneca. Hello, Chris. Welcome. You're on the air.
How's it going today, John?
Good.
Yeah, I'm just going to make it short because just in case the Eric Wood media.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Chris.
I was going to say, I watched the Senior Bowl, and I was impressed with Mike White. I don't know if you know who he is, but.
Yeah, I do. Western Kentucky, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he was okay. I want to know what you think, too, Chris. But I don't see him as a major prospect, like maybe mid-round prospect, fourth
like
to seventh-round prospect.
The maybe. Game might have moved him up. Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris. He had a decent game. You're right. 3 touchdown passes.
Yeah, I was thinking like maybe a second or a third we could get him. That'd be a good snag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might be a little high. He's gone. He's right.
He hung up on us.
Around.
Yeah, he wasn't playing around. I think he's a guy, like you said, second, third round, that could be a snag. He's a guy who all the game did was make the scouts go back and look at the tape more. Like, yeah. Did we miss something on this kid or something like that? I mean, he's here for a reason, but that's all they're going to do is go back and look at the tape. And then if he comes to the combine and blows the combine up, and then he does a very good job in the interviews and all of that stuff, then you might see him in the second round or something like that move up the boards. I don't think he's a first-round guy. I think he's going to be a second, third round, maybe in a fourth round.
I don't even know second round, but we'll see. And we are early in the process. That might change. You're right about that, Donald. You know what impressed me also, and we didn't get a chance to ask Chris Brown about it, but the kid from Texas San Antonio, the defensive end edge guy, Marcus Davenport,
yes.
made a big play. And made a lot of big plays and was just a handful. They couldn't block him several times. That guy, I think, made himself some money with his performance all week, but especially in the Senior Bowl
they
game
They talked
itself.
About him a lot, too,
yeah.
during the game. And it was interesting because Brownie, we had him on during the week, and Brownie hadn't really seen much of him
right.
in practice.
Right.
And then he gets in the game, and he has a great game. And some guys are just gamers. Some guys are great practice players, and then they can't get it done in the game. Other guys are very good gamers, and they make things happen once they get in the game. It might not look good in practice. When they get in the game, it's just like, man, they can't stop this guy. So, yeah, he had a good one.
Yeah, and he's a guy to watch now at the combine process, obviously, and the school won't help him, right? The small school status of Texas San Antonio
yeah.
will not help him. But he helped himself with, I think, a lot of good plays, including that scoop and score in the game.
That game definitely helped him. Now, if he comes out and runs a good 40 and does good at the combine, I mean, he was already being talked about as a possible first-round pick guy. And so he could be sitting there on the board still when the Bills are going to pick at 2021. So he could be a guy that everybody here should pay attention to as you look at this defensive front that needs some depth on it, on its line. Who knows what's going to happen with those guys up there, but they do need some depth. And so he could be a guy who could end up being drafted in the first round or in the second round somewhere in there. But I think all he needs to do now is just come and run a good 40, and he's going to move up the charts.
We are waiting Eric Wood's meeting with the media, his news conference scheduled to start 43 minutes ago. Still waiting. We're going to carry it live for you. 803-0550, the number to call if you have comments or questions on Eric, on the Senior Bowl, on the Pro Bowl game, wherever you'd like to take it. We are wide open today as we await for the Eric Wood news conference. When it starts, we'll carry it live, and you can watch it on the MSG side, or you can listen, of course, on the radio side on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a lot of corrections, people. I guess I missed Brian Brohm as a potential quarterback
who
took
the
snap.
I've gotten so many names. Josh Johnson, Brian Brohm.
Is that a regular season game for Josh Johnson?
Levi Brown I got. Cardell Jones.
I think you're going too far back.
I mean, I'm getting all of these tweets. I think people are just naming quarterbacks that have played with them.
Right.
Well, guys that have been on the team. I mean, you can name quarterbacks for days.
I wish I cared enough to look deeply into it. I mean, he played 9 years. There are a lot of quarterbacks that he snapped to, right? I mean, guys mopping up games in the fourth quarter, guys mopping up regular season finales and all those meaningless regular season finales.
Right.
Yeah, Matt Cassel took a snap on Tyrod's first game when Tyrod split out wide as a wide receiver. What was that, 2015? Yeah. What are you laughing about? I just don't feel like spending the effort to look deeply at
it.
He had a great
career.
There's
been a lot of quarterbacks, right.
Yeah, there have been a lot of quarterbacks. Is it not enough to say that Eric Wood had a great career, 9 years, spanning a lot of quarterbacks? Unless you want to win a bar bet, what's the point? Let's go to Paul in Greece/Rochester. Hello, Paul. Welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing, John?
Good.
A couple questions for you. First is, I know we might need a backup center. The kid I thought it was a kid out of Alabama, and also the linebacker out of Georgia. I've been hearing that maybe the Bills might pick. And my other question is, I don't really think the Bills have to go for a quarterback in the first round. I think they could get one either the second, third, or fourth round pick. There's some good quarterbacks out there, John.
Yeah, there are some. The biggest thing is, if you want to get a guy in the first round, are you willing to trade up to get that guy? Because I think they're all going to be gone by the first 8 to 10 picks. So are you willing to trade basically 10, 11 picks to get up into the top 10 picks to get a guy? If you're truly sure about that guy, then you do that. If you're not sure about that guy, then you stay where you are. And once again, we don't know how the draft is going to play out. We're speculating because of the thirst for the quarterback position that these teams are going to want one of these guys, but who knows? They might pass up on him. You might have an Aaron Rodgers situation where he sat in the green room until the end of the first round, and then somebody takes him. So we don't know how it's going to play out. If that happens, then go ahead and snag a guy. But I don't see that happening in football right now because so many teams need quarterbacks. So I would think that, I've said it last week. I don't think you should trade everybody away to try to get a quarterback.
Because we did that with Sammy Watkins. I mean, I love Sammy Watkins when we got him, but we traded a lot of players to get him. And, unfortunately, he left, and we lost a lot of picks. I think we should just not trade it. Just stay where we are.
Hey, who's the Alabama center that you like? I don't see him on my list.
His name, but they were raved. I can't think of his name offhand, but he's pretty good.
There's a center from Ohio State that a lot of people have talked about, Billy Price. Are we interested in a center in the first round?
No.
I'm not either.
I'm not. I think you have a guy who can plug in and play right now. So you're not going to draft a center in the first round. I think you have too many other holes to fill. And I don't know this for sure. I mean, Coach McDermott, they shocked us last year with the draft and what they did, but I'd imagine them going with a receiver, quarterback, or one of those defensive front positions early in the draft.
All right, thanks. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. No update on when the Eric Wood news conference will begin. Supposed to start 1 o'clock. What, 45 minutes in, we're not ridiculously late, Donald, but somebody's going to have to ask, was there some sort of holdup, some sort of snag, right?
Did he change his mind?
Did you consider? I mean, right? I'd ask that if I get out there.
Yeah, just to ease it a little bit. Because it might be emotional for him.
Yeah, you might be right.
It could be emotional for him where he's just like, oh, I got to go out there and do this right now. So you get a guy out there who wants to ask a question. Hey, man, you all right? Did you need some extra makeup or something like that?
What's the deal? I'm on deadline here.
Yeah, I got to write this story so we can get it in the news today.
Give us a call if you have thoughts on Eric Wood's retirement, if you have thoughts on the Senior Bowl, the Pro Bowl. Did you watch any or all of that this weekend? Here's Kellen Schmerly tweets in, Alabama center prospect is Bradley Bozeman. He was a center last season. He's played guard before that. Is a mid-round, not first-round. I'll look for his name. I don't see him on my list, and I got a pretty extensive
teams
list from
draft centers
our lads
in the first round.
Well, the Bills did with Eric Wood,
but he was a guard.
Yeah,
he was drafted as a guard.
Yeah,
I mean, it can happen. You can definitely, if a guy is that good, and you were just terrible at the center position, then I guess you would do that. But I think you have a guy to plug and play right now. I'm gonna continue to say that if you think that the Bills need to take a center in the first round, you have a guy, and Groy, that you brought back for a reason that you can put in there right now. You have other holes on this team that you need to go ahead and fill, especially in the first round.
803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. The number to call, your comments, questions about whatever you'd like to talk about. How about Tom and Clarence on the line with us? Hello, Tom.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
I think we should go ahead and sign Alex Smith, or try to.
Well, yeah, you're going to have to trade for him, right?
Yeah.
Get him away from Kansas City.
Right.
But, I mean, that's our dance partner this year.
It's a
I really think that Denver's going to, you know, Denver, you know, is going to snag somebody. The Jets, I think the Jets can move up to four. I think the Colts are sitting in a great spot if Andrew Luck's healthy. And I don't think Josh McDaniels would be going there if Andrew Luck wasn't healthy.
Right.
So there's going to be some trades up there at the top, and I think it's just going to take too much. We probably have to give up two first-round picks and something else. I don't know. I just think for the length of the contracts, for five-year contracts, go ahead and get a defensive tackle and a linebacker.
Yeah.
You know, and pay the money for, you know, for Alex Smith. If he's going to be, I think he's $20 million next year, which is kind of reasonable. Cut Tyrod. I mean, obviously your intentions are known then.
How many effective years do you think Alex Smith has left, Tom?
I would think he is 4 to 5.
Really? I would guess 3 to 4, so we're in the same ballpark. What do you think, Mr. Jones?
I go anywhere from 3 to 5 just to be in you guys' ballpark. But I say this, Tom, I mean, we know that Andy Reid, Coach McDermott have the relationship. So that could be a trade to pay attention to, and I'm sure we're reading tea leaves here, and everybody's going to say, man, they have the relationship. That's a trade that you got to make, but – is Andy Reid ready to move on from Alex Smith? I mean, that's the biggest question. The dude was playing at an MVP level. He had some bad games this year, didn't win the playoff game for them, and that's what's going to stick in everybody's mind. But is Pat Mahomes ready? That's what it comes down to. Does Andy Reid believe Pat Mahomes is ready to be their franchise quarterback? We can move on from a guy who was just playing at a very high level, threw for over 4,000 yards, or do we need to continue to develop Pat Mahomes and let Alex Smith run this team at least for one more year? That's the biggest question.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a huge decision by Andy Reid. Yeah, we know they traded up to get him, Pat Mahomes, in the first round of the draft. I get that. But is he ready yet? That's the biggest question mark. In terms of that trade right there, that's the question. That's the X factor in terms of that trade. Is Pat Mahomes ready to be their franchise quarterback? He had one good game. Does that mean that he's ready to be their franchise guy? I don't know. We'll see about that.
There's another call about Alex Smith from Gary in Rochester. Hello, Gary. Go ahead.
I had a similar question about Alex Smith. I just wanted to know if you would figure it would be worth a first and maybe second round draft to get him in. I hate to really see Tyrod leave because I think he's done us justice and is still learning. But what do you think on going for Alex Smith?
He, you know, to be honest with you, Gary, at this early stage, that would be my choice. Now, there's a question of cost. How much, if you trade for him, how much is that going to cost? If it's if he's released and out there in the free agent market, how much are you willing to pay for him to bring him in here? But as far as the potential landscape of free agent quarterbacks, he would be at the top of my list. He really would be. And I know he's not a long-term solution, but I think he solves the problem, allows you to draft a quarterback somewhere in this year's draft, hopefully a premium draft pick this year in the draft, and develop that quarterback behind Alex Smith, who I think is more than capable. We were talking about this last week. Questions, you know, he didn't play well in the playoff game, has not played well historically in big playoff-type games. But he had a really solid season,
right.
And I'd be pretty comfortable with him as the, I guess, the bridge quarterback to whoever they draft.
I think the Bills are in a position to, because you're not sitting at 15, you're sitting at 20-21. Now, Brandon Bean and Coach McDermott could be master negotiators, and we'll see about that if they could trade that far up and get a guy and not trade away the entire draft. But I think where you're sitting at 20-21, you're realistically looking at a guy like a Mason Rudolph, a guy like Lamar Jackson, the kid out of Louisville, who I think you might as well just stay with Tyrod. But, I mean, the kid is good. He's dynamic. But he has a lot of learning to do about playing in quarterback in this league. But you're looking at one of those guys or the kid out of Western Kentucky who had the good game in the wherever round, you know, later, second, third round, something like that. And you're looking at one of these free agent quarterbacks. I think because of where you're sitting in the draft, I don't think it's realistic. And I could be wrong that they're going to move up into the top seven picks to take one of those guys. I think they're going to be looking at the free agents hard and looking at a Mason Rudolph or one of those guys.
The kid from Western Kentucky, where, by the way, we're told moments away from Eric Wood addressing the media here at One Bills Drive. Dan in Angola. Go ahead, Dan. You're on the air.
I like that Mike White. What do you think? He might be there later.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about him a little bit. He's the kid from Western Kentucky. To me, he's at best a third, more likely in my mind, in my unofficial grades, a fourth, fifth, day three pick. He had a pretty good game Saturday. I wouldn't get real excited about Mike White. You got Nathan Peterman. I don't see, you know, a whole lot of – I mean, they're different players, but I don't see a whole lot of value in one over the other. What do you think?
How much buzz is he getting on draft day? That's another thing that plays into this, because players will get so much buzz where teams and GMs feel like, we got to take this guy. Somebody else is going to take him if we don't take him right now. So you kind of get forced in to picking a guy because you feel like so-and-so is about to take them right after you, or so-and-so right ahead of you is about to take him, so you end up trading up a couple of spots to take that guy. And they could have been totally bluffing. I mean, the draft is so hard. That's why Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean will always say, just let that thing play out and see where guys fall. Once you get to where you need to get to, yeah, you can make trades and all of that stuff. We have no clue where guys are going to fall. We have no clue what players are going to be getting the buzz like that at that point. You're sitting at a spot where you truly have to wait for that thing to play out.
The draft is hard to predict, and it's a ways away, too, which is important. Right? Mm-hmm. Saturday's game, really the first week, really, the beginning of draft evaluations all over the league with Senior Bowl week. A lot will happen, I think, between now and then, don't you? I mean, a lot will change. People's stock will go up and down. Their pro days, et cetera, that sort of thing.
Free agency is going to happen first.
Yeah. Free agency will happen first.
Free agency is going to happen first. And we're going to talk so much about the draft. All you're going to see on ESPN after the Super Bowl is draft talk. But free agency will be coming shortly after, a month after the Super Bowl. And that's the first big decision on Tyrod, what they want to do with that. And then on free agent quarterbacks and who's going to be on the market. We still don't even know who's going to be on the market. Which one of those quarterbacks from Minnesota is going to be on the market? You'd think one of them, at least one of them, will be on the market. Will two of them be out there? That's still yet to be seen. I think free agency is the first wave of this thing, and then you can worry about the draft after that.
We're waiting Eric Wood, his address to the media coming up momentarily, and we'll carry that for you live. We'll keep it here until Eric steps to the podium. In the meantime, we may have to cut you off, and we'll do it without you know, hopefully ruffling too many feathers, but if Eric steps to the podium, we'll pick that up live. Pat calling from DePew. Hello, Pat. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Pat. Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
Sure.
I'll make it quick and short. For both All-Star games.
Hey, Pat, hang on. Eric Wood at the podium. We're going to pick that up live. Thanks, Pat. Eric Wood making his way to the podium. Pat, we'll put you on hold. And here he is, Bills Center Eric Wood, stepping to the podium inside the Ad Pro Sports Training Center here in Orchard Park. Eric Wood waving to, as he walks to the podium, waving to some of the people in attendance, and now he mounts the podium, and we'll pick up his statement.
I'll give you a minute to get set back up. Sorry for the delay, and thank you to everyone who came out today. This press conference was set up a couple weeks ago, in light of me finding out about the injury an hour before my son Garrett was born. As many of you already know, given the leak on Friday, Dr. Cappuccino has informed me that I will no longer be able to play football given the neck injury. Even with further treatment, rehab, or surgery, a return is not possible. In week 5, I got the first stinger of my life, and I got one the following week. After that game, we did an x-ray on my neck that showed no significant damage. After the season, as part of the exit physical, we got an MRI that revealed a disc that was dangerously close to my spinal cord at C2, C3, and that was alarming. As you can imagine, this news floored me as I was merely days away from the first playoff game of my career. Although I know I will no longer be cleared to play football, I'm still on the Bills roster and look forward to helping out the team in some capacity. Thanks to everyone who supported me throughout my career, and thanks, and because of that, I am here today. I'm sure there are a lot of unanswered questions, and I hope to address those at a later date. Thanks, and go Bills.
No questions for Eric Wood, and just a brief statement. No questions, no answers, and he's right. More questions now after that. Still on the roster. Look forward to helping out the Bills in some capacity. Not quite sure what's involved there, Donald, but Eric Wood, I think to the shock of many, issued a statement, right? He said he's not clear to play football. He was clear about that, and I don't know if that's a blanket, you know, never cleared to play football. Said he got a stinger in week five, another one the following game, and after the season discovered a disc close to his spinal cord. What do you make of that? I don't know what to make of that.
I mean, he's not cleared to play football right now. The biggest thing that he said there is that he still wants to help out the team in some capacity. I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
I don't.
Still on the roster, he said.
Yeah, he's still on the roster, and I look forward to helping the team out in some capacity. Does that mean coaching? Scouting? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's going to be a lot of questions after that now, and a lot of speculation.
You think? We're going to take a break here. We'll come back with more, discuss this over, and see if we can figure out what that was all about. So, interesting. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
An update from One Bills Drive. After a 55-minute wait, Bills center Eric Wood took to the podium a moment ago and addressed the media. We will replay his brief comments. Took no questions today. Talked about how he suffered the first stinger of his NFL career in Week 5 this past season. Another one in Week 6 after the season. Examination proved that he had disc problems, a disc too close to his spinal cord. Wood says he is still on the Buffalo roster, says he looks forward to helping out the Bills in some capacity, but did not elaborate and did not take any questions. Wood also said that he's been told that his football days are behind him, that he would not be cleared to play. That's all we know about Eric Wood. Again, we'll play his entire brief comments just a moment or two from now. Pro Bowl yesterday, the sixth Pro Bowl for Bills running back LeSean Shady McCoy, and he wound up in the end zone for the first time in his sixth Pro Bowl appearances. Happened in the third quarter. McCoy finished with 3 carries for 7 yards in the game. At the Senior Bowl, the Bills reportedly met extensively with Oklahoma quarterback Baker Mayfield. A couple of other teams met with him at length as well, including the Jets and the Dolphins. The Bills likely to meet with other quarterbacks as the draft process moves along. The New England Patriots are on their way to Minnesota for the Super Bowl. At their practice yesterday, tight end Rob Gronkowski practiced for the second straight day, but he remains in concussion protocol. Tom Brady had 12 stitches removed from his injured thumb earlier last week. The Eagles have been in Minneapolis-St. Paul since yesterday. They flew out yesterday. The Eagles getting set to go up against the Patriots in Super Bowl 52 this coming Sunday at U.S. Bank Stadium. Patriots offense coordinator Josh McDaniels ready to be the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts after the Super Bowl. He met with the Colts on Friday this week. And the Carolina Panthers interviewing general manager candidates, planning on interviewing Bills assistant director of college scouting Lake Dawson later this week. Sabres returning from the All-Star break. Sabres will play 9 of their next 14 games at home, including tomorrow night against the New Jersey Devils. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio. As the Eric Wood announcement, if you were looking for it, it was brief. A couple of minutes. He just made it, and we will replay it for you. I believe we have it right now. This is what Eric Wood said when he stepped to the podium at 1:55, 55 minutes after the scheduled start of the news conference. These were his brief comments about his status. Eric Wood just moments ago.
Sorry for the delay, and thank you to everyone who came out today. This press conference was set up a couple weeks ago in light of me finding out about the injury an hour before my son Garrett was born. As many of you already know, given the leak on Friday, Dr. Cappuccino has informed me that I will no longer be able to play football given the neck injury. Even with further treatment, rehab, or surgery, a return is not possible. In week 5, I got the first stinger of my life, and I got one the following week. After that game, we did an x-ray on my neck that showed no significant damage. After the season, as part of the exit physical, we got an MRI that revealed a disc that was dangerously close to my spinal cord at C2, C3, and that was alarming. As you can imagine, this news floored me as I was merely days away from the first playoff game of my career. Although I know I will no longer be cleared to play football, I'm still on the Bills roster and look forward to helping out the team in some capacity. Thanks to everyone who supported me throughout my career, and thanks, and because of that, I am here today. I'm sure there are a lot of unanswered questions, and I hope to address those at a later date. Thanks, and go Bills.
Go Bills. And that was it from Eric Wood. Thanks and go Bills. So, again, week five, a stinger. Week six, another stinger. After the season, an MRI, in Eric's words, found a disc dangerously close to his spinal cord, C2, C3, which is up here, I believe, right in your neck. He referred to that as alarming. He says he's still on the roster, and, quote, I know I will no longer be cleared to play football, but I look forward to helping out the Bills in some capacity. I don't know why I look at you, because I have no answers either. I don't know what this means, Donald. I don't know what he has in mind. I don't know why he didn't take questions. And it's all pretty puzzling.
Yeah, it's puzzling. But it's tough when you're in that position, because maybe he's still in shock a little bit. And he talked about it. Obviously, the news was a leak. He probably will. He said the press conference was scheduled a little while back. So
right.
I'm not sure how he wants to help out with the organization moving forward. I don't know in what capacity that would be. But I'll tell you this. When he talked about having the stingers, you get a stinger in back-to-back weeks. Those of you who have never had a stinger, it is the worst feeling in the world. No, not the worst in the world, but it's horrible to deal with something like that, because you totally lose all of your feeling in your extremities, in your arm and everything. You know, so when you get it back-to-back weeks, it is alarming. And so that's when you go back and you look to it. You look at it. X-rays don't show anything. MRI shows that he said a disc that was close to the spine, right? So that's something that could be severely hurt in one wrong hit. And so that's why you have the decision where it doesn't matter if you get surgery or whatever the case may be, you can't play anymore.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. My impression of the stinger, and you said it's – is it pain? No, I don't think it is pain, right? It's more of a scary thing, right?
Yeah, it's a scary thing.
The numbness, the loss of feeling, right?
Right. So when you – I mean, anytime you hit somebody and you go numb and you can't feel anything, you don't know, is it coming back? What is going on right now? I don't know if – I can't feel my arm. I can't feel anything on this side. And so eventually, stingers, it will come back. But if you get them in back-to-back weeks, there's something wrong there. There's no reason why you should keep getting those stingers like that. And so that's why they really started to go in there and look around.
Yeah, we're not sure what happened. We do know Eric Wood's former teammate, your former teammate, Ryan Fitzpatrick, is going to be joining us here in a second. And we don't expect Ryan to clear up any of this as far as what went on. But we always like to visit with Ryan. We're looking forward to that. Something strikes me, too, Donald, that, you know, the timing is a little bit off here in that – I think Eric's announcement was a little bit rushed. Obviously, the leak came out Friday. Clearly, he did not want it to come out Friday. He wanted to think through it. And maybe they're just trying to sort through some of the injury contractual issues that may come up. Folks have mentioned before about the, you know, how much do they owe him and what's the cap hit. Maybe they're trying to sort through some of that. Maybe. Speculating here. That could be what we're looking at here. Head coach Sean McDermott, talked to some of the media in a media scrum inside the Fieldhouse moments ago. And let's go and listen to what he had to say.
Yeah, it was, you know, unfortunate. Obviously, you know, we had some good momentum as we finished the season there. And this goes well beyond the game. And I'm just... first of all, I was taken back by it a little bit just because of, the situation. But, you know, the good in all of this is that Eric can go on and spend a lot of time with his new family and enjoy the rest of his life the way he should be able to.
He spent his whole career here in Buffalo and was finally able to reach the playoffs for the first time in what ended up being his last season. That has to make you feel a little good.
Oh, it does. It makes me feel good for Eric, his family, and the rest of his teammates. It really does. I mean, it's I'll never forget the look on Eric's face. You know, you have still memories that stay with you for a long time, and that's one of them that I remember distinctly when Eric came off the field from the coin toss and the look in his eyes that he was, you know, in a situation he hadn't been in before, and he was excited for the opportunity.
What's your understanding of the kind of the settlement talks that are going on right now with him staying on the roster and how that's all evolving right now, because clearly it still is?
Yeah, that's, you know, today's Eric's day. That's I'm not going to get into all that, and today's Eric's day. It's a day to celebrate Eric and his career and what he's brought to this football team and our community.
From your standpoint, obviously you feel his career is over. Have you got a sense from him whether he thinks it's over or not?
Well, that's the impression that I've gotten. That's why we're having this ceremony today. It was in Eric's honor and to celebrate a great career.
Going forward, you'll start to look how to replace Eric on the roster. Is it, I mean, Groy seems to be the guy that you would immediately appoint to, but is that something that you'll address in the draft, free agency? Have you started to look at that?
Yeah, for another time. Again, I just want to really focus on Eric and celebrating his career today.
Can you quantify, Coach, just the respect and leadership value that Eric Wood brought to this roster?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Eric's a young man that I knew of him before I arrived in Buffalo. He's well-respected around the league. And, you know, my impression of Eric did not change over the last, 12 months, if you will, give or take here. So his leadership on the field in the community is just tremendous.
How challenging a void will that be to fill going forward, the leadership and respect value guy?
Yeah, it's certainly something we have to keep our eye on collectively, Brandon, myself, our staffs, to make sure we've got enough leadership on this football team. That is something that, you know, we, as you build a team, as you build a roster year to year, that you want to make sure you've got enough of the player-driven leadership.
Sean, you mentioned today's Eric's day. Did you sort of maybe envision that it would, or how unfortunate is it, I guess, that it had to be just a statement? And, you know, I imagine you thought it might have been a little bit bigger than just 2 minutes like that.
Well, you know, that's what it was, and I'm just... Like I said, this is Eric's day. It's Eric's decision, and I'm going to support him any way that I can. That's what I do with my players, and I'm again happy for him, happy for his family, and what a great career that he was able to have, and the best part of it for me was it was all in one spot. Not a lot of players are able to say that at the end of a career, and Eric in this case is able to say that.
Sean, he mentioned that he would like to have a role with this team moving forward. Have there been any discussions on what that could look like?
Yeah, that's, I don't get involved really in those discussions very often, and those are conversations for another time.
Sean, was he limited at all with this injury during the season?
No.
I know the news was leaked on Friday. Did the other players find out the same time that we did, or did they have some prior knowledge?
To my knowledge, it was all about the same time. Things happened somewhat fast coming down after the season, and Eric did his due diligence to make sure he had enough of the opinions and whatnot to make his decision the way he did.
When did you find out, Sean?
I think it was obviously after the season and the following days and weeks as Eric went through his process and along with our docs.
Okay. Thanks,
right, thanks guys.
Thank
appreciate it. Thank you.
Sean McDermott, Bills head coach, speaking to the media just outside our room here in the AdPro Sports Training Center after Eric Wood's two-minute news conference. If you blinked, you missed it. Eric said that he will no longer be cleared to play football. Still on the Buffalo payroll. Looks forward to having to helping out the Bills in some capacity moving forward after being diagnosed with a neck injury. Again, we're trying to figure. First of all, he didn't answer any questions, which leaves us hanging in some respects. But it's pretty clear that he's not going to play football based on McDermott's comments. We don't know what the next capacity is, and I just get the sense there are probably some kinks to work out in the actual settlement, whether it's injury settlement or whatever. Right? What do you think?
I don't think so. I would think there's still things that they have to work out, and we talked about it. He just did a contract, so there are probably things that they have to work out still. And to be honest, I mean, if you're retiring all of a sudden like this because of a neck injury that is now taking what you love to do away from you, when you just had a good season, you want to build on it. I mean, I don't know if I want to sit up there and answer questions because they're going to hound you with different questions about the injury. I don't want to talk about it. It is what it is. This is what it is. The doctor said, I can't play anymore. Now I have to go on and move on to the next phase of my life. And so I know people want to hear questions and all of that stuff, and it would have been good to hear questions, but I'm not shocked that he didn't answer questions. Because he's probably still somewhat going through it mentally. Like, I'm not going to be able to play this anymore. Yeah. I'm not going to be able to do this anymore.
Izzy calling from North Carolina. Hello, Izzy. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Listen, Eric was one of the better players that we had over the last 8 or 9 years. What I'd like to know is, why don't we keep him on the roster? And then next year, when They have to have the – when you go to the game, you have to have 53 guys. Now, why can't he be one of the guys who are not eligible to play?
It's a waste of a roster spot if he can't play. You know, they agonize over those inactive decisions. You may not think it's important, but sometimes it is. Sometimes.
It is.
You really want to give that up just to go to a 52-man roster? I don't think so.
That's, like, unheard of.
Yeah.
That's unheard of. You're going to keep him around, he's going to be a coach or something like that. But you're not going to have him on the roster when you need guys. I mean, they're every week they are in there actively bringing guys in off the streets, trying to bring in guys to upgrade their roster, especially at the bottom of the roster. So teams don't just keep guys around to take up roster spots. You don't have enough of them.
Yeah. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Eric Woods' news conference has come and gone. As he said, I know I will no longer be cleared to play football. Still on the roster, though. Look forward to helping out the Bills in some capacity in the future. We'll find out what that's all about. Maybe get some clarity. We hope to hear from Brandon Bean, the Bills' general manager, momentarily. He's answering questions over in the field house as well. In the meantime, we will get your thoughts on this at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550 or at Twitter. I was hoping he would answer some questions, Donald, just because I have questions, and I'm sure many other media members do. Well, and some of it dealing with the contract doesn't interest me as much as sort of the timing of it, you know. So he cleared this up. Week 5, a stinger. The following game, a stinger. Back-to-back weeks. He's never had that before. And then after the season, an MRI showing a disc problem, a disc, in his words, dangerously close to his spinal cord, C2, C3. He called it alarming, which I'm sure it was. I guess I was looking for a sense of, you know, the process of reaching this decision.
Yeah.
You know, how did you get to this decision based on the stingers and then on the postseason evaluation?
Yeah, when you're dealing with something, and that's still early in the season, so that means he actually probably was dealing with this thing for the rest of the year, and every time he got hit, it probably went through his mind, am I going to get another stinger? Am I going to get another stinger? And so you go back, and because when you know your body. You know how good you're supposed to feel. You know the difference between something, an injury, and something is up in there versus I'm just sore from playing football. This is just normal wear. We've been saying normal wear and tear, normal wear and tear. This doesn't sound like normal wear and tear. This sounds like an injury that is dangerously close to his spinal cord that can truly paralyze him or something like that on the field. And you know as a player – there is something wrong in there, and I need to get that checked out. And so that's why he, like Coach McDermott said, did his due diligence after the season was over, and it came back that this is not the best thing for you. When Eric walked off that stage a couple minutes ago, he went straight, picked up his daughter, and kissed his wife. And I'm happy that he's able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad that he actually went and did his due diligence and got those second opinions to and got that MRI and all of that stuff so that – this could come out, but it still doesn't mean that he's not in shock. I would think that he is still in shock. When I retired, because of my health, I had come to grips with, all right, this is what it is. But when it was official, it was like, all right, it's truly done now. And so I would imagine it's hard for him to answer questions about that because it's truly done now. I'll never be able to do this. I'll never be up on this stage again. If the team goes on and wins games, you won't be interviewing me anymore unless he's still around in some capacity.
Eric Wood's statement that he read, if you missed it, let's play it again. It's short. It's just a couple of minutes. But Eric Wood, and I'm interested in the timing, too, of what he knew about the injury. He mentioned the birth of his son, which I believe was on Thursday, January 11th, some 4 days after the Bills playoff loss in Jacksonville. Listen again now, if you would, to Eric Wood, the statement that he read to the media, not taking any questions, about 25, 30 minutes ago. Here's Eric Wood.
Sorry for the delay, and thank you to everyone who came out today. This press conference was set up a couple weeks ago in light of me finding out about the injury an hour before my son Garrett was born. As many of you already know, given the leak on Friday, Dr. Cappuccino has informed me that I will no longer be able to play football given the neck injury. Even with further treatment, rehab, or surgery, a return is not possible. In week 5, I got the first stinger of my life, and I got one the following week. After that game, we did an x-ray on my neck that showed no significant damage. After the season, as part of the exit physical, we got an MRI that revealed a disc that was dangerously close to my spinal cord at C2, C3, and that was alarming. As you can imagine, this news floored me as I was merely days away from the first playoff game of my career. Although I will no longer be clear to play football, I'm still on the Bills roster and look forward to helping out the team in some capacity. Thanks to everyone who supported me throughout my career, and thanks, and because of that, I am here today. I'm sure there are a lot of unanswered questions, and I hope to address those at a later date. Thanks, and go Bills.
There it is, brief as it was. Eric Wood, again, clarifying, his son was born January 11th. He said the postseason exit physical is where the MRI revealed the what he called a dangerous situation of a disc close to his spinal cord. So it wasn't as if they knew that or anybody knew that. Eric knew that before the playoff game against Jacksonville, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We're trying to sort through it just like you are in real time. We're going to take a break. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Donald Jones. Eric Wood made his announcement earlier today in a brief statement, and several of his former and current teammates are here, including our next guest sits here right live in our studio. Happy to have Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick in studio. Fitz, it is great to see you.
Yeah,
welcome to the show.
Good to see you guys, too. Good to be here. Short and sweet. That was short and sweet. You know, he built up the anticipation and then laid it on us and left.
Was it worth the trip?
It was. I think tonight's going to be worth the trip.
Oh.
For what that is worth. But yeah, I mean that. I think, you know, obviously with the details that got leaked, you know, it took a little bit away from press conference. But it's a tough deal. You know, Eric and I came here together in 2009 with me signing here and him getting drafted. So we formed a special bond right away and played together for 4 years, Donald being part of that as well. And we had a great time, but, you know, he's truly is revered by this fan base. And, you know, a lot of it is his style of play and the way that he played, but a lot of it is just his genuine personality as well.
Back to tonight, who picks up the tab?
That's going to be interesting. So yeah. since I left Eric, he's made a lot of money, a lot of money. I mean, I looked it up. I think he's north of 50. So I don't know how that goes. Like, I'm older. I know that. Yeah. I've got more years in the league. But,
right. Gosh,
I feel like I picked up a lot of tabs at Uncle Joe's Diner when he was eating extra pancakes and stuff when we were here.
I was just there the other day.
Were you really?
Yeah,
one of my favorite spots.
Yeah,
I love Uncle Joe's.
Yeah. Ryan Fitzpatrick in studio with us here for the brief Eric Wood announcement that came and went a couple of minutes ago, and Ryan's going to spend a few minutes with us. What was it about Eric Wood that made him so revered as a teammate? I asked Donald this question earlier. What made him different than you played with a number of centers?
Well, he's a very likable guy. Yeah. I think just his personality. But part of it, I just think he embodied what a Buffalo Bill is. You know, he's tough. He went through a lot of injuries and things early in his career, high expectations as a first-round draft pick center, but had to work through a lot of things. And this year, I thought, what a great testament, being able to play every single snap, you know, and everything he's been through and the stingers that he had this year that we just heard about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not easy as an offensive lineman to play every snap, but to be able to be pushing through some of those dings and knocks. And I mean, he truly embodies what a Bills player is with the toughness and how much he embraced the community, and they embraced him right back.
How important was he to you when you were here playing quarterback in terms of calls, getting everybody in the right direction?
Well, it was a lot of fun because I think we were kind of on the job learning together. You know, I hadn't played a lot. I started 12 games in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Before I came to Buffalo, but especially when Chan Gailey got here in 2010, learning a new system together and having to really be on the same page with that. We spent a lot of time together, and you know, we had a lot of fun doing it. You know, wish we would have won more games, but we had a good run.
Yeah.
and really, you know, really enjoyed working with him.
When he came here in 09 and you arrived as well, he was a guard, right? And I think they probably had him penciled in as a guard.
I think all along center was going to be the position. It was just Jeff Hangardner was
right.
Was here and had signed a decent deal in terms of coming from Carolina, being a guy that was going to be smart and teach these guys. But it was Eric and Andy Levitre, two guys that have been real successful pros. That was a good draft when you look at interior linemen and how well they've done in their careers. But I think all along it was the thought was shifting him to center and allowing him to take over once he felt comfortable with it.
In his rookie year, he had that really tough, devastating injury in Jacksonville. Jacksonville, I think it was, right? And he fought through it. The broken ankle. Many people thought, will he recover from that? Will he be able to recover from that? That was a really tough injury.
Yeah, and I know that there was some stuff in college, too. I mean, he fought through a lot. He fought through a lot of injuries, and especially at that position, I mean, it's tough. You can't hide. You know, you got to go out there, and you get banged every single play. And, quarterback, sometimes you can get away with, being back there and, being soft, but not at that position. And, it was a pleasure playing with him, but I think everybody respected everything he fought through as well.
You know, I posed this question, though, I guess we had on the show last week, and I'm going to ask you this because you're the quarterback that has to deal with the center every play. How important is the center to everything that happens? Do you feel like that position is underappreciated?
Yeah, I think so. And the biggest thing, when you get into a game and you have an experienced center versus having somebody that's green, is just peace of mind. It makes our job so much easier as quarterbacks when I can make one call or one point and the center just takes everything over from there. You're on the same page. You have the same communication. But you know that it's being done the right way.
Right.
And Eric definitely developed into that as his career went on. And for me, another great one, I play with a lot of good centers. Another great one was Nick Mangold with the Jets, where I stepped in there and could make one point and everything was taken care of and I was at ease. There's so much to think about at quarterback. So to have a center that can do all that, you could be at ease and focus on other things. That's really helpful for a quarterback.
Ryan Fitzpatrick in studio with us for a couple of more minutes, talking about Eric Wood. His brief announcement today that his football days are over. A return is not possible. Eric said, "I will no longer be able to, no longer be cleared to play football." He said he looks forward to helping out the Bills organization in some capacity. Eric's still on the roster as we speak. Fitz, let's talk about you. You just wrapped up your first season with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 13 years now experience in the league?
Yeah, just wrapped up year number 13,
wow.
which is crazy.
I mean, we got the first look of you down, and he's old, man.
I'm old. This is all blonde, though. There's no gray. It's all blonde.
We got the first look at you on Hard Knocks. Was this your first year on Hard Knocks?
This was my first year on Hard Knocks.
What was that like?
They do a decent job of keeping the cameras out of your faces. That being said, in our meeting rooms and things, there's cameras on the walls everywhere, but you kind of forget about them.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you kind of forget about them and say some things that you would say, when the cameras weren't there. But they do a really nice job of trying to stay in the background, but also providing fans with an up-close experience. I thought, that crew was unbelievable. They were fun to work with. And, I had such a small role in it. I just tried to stay in the background. But it was a fun experience.
You got a chance to play with Tampa Bay this year, right, when Jameis got hurt a little bit. I think Donald at the time was talking about the Fitz curse, didn't you call it? Like, Fitz is behind you.
It's bad.
Everywhere Fitz goes, man.
I somehow find a way. I find a way to get in.
If you're a starting quarterback and the team signed Fitz,
watch your back.
Jesus.
Yeah, it happens. I didn't believe in it. I didn't believe in it until when I was on the Jets in 20. Well, I got there and Geno breaks his jaw.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, I don't know. And then the next year, I get benched, Geno goes in, tears his ACL on air. Yeah. I go back in, then I get benched, then Bryce Petty gets hurt. Then I go back in, get benched, Bryce Petty gets hurt again. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh.
You believe
it now. There is something going on here. But, my whole career, I've had a lot of different things, but the biggest thing is just trying to take advantage of every opportunity I've been given, and I've really enjoyed, even though it's been on a lot of different teams, I've really enjoyed all my teammates and the landing spots that I've been in.
You're close to Fitz right now. You might trip over there or something like that. Watch
Move
out.
Move over here a little bit. I'm going to just slide away.
Move away.
Of all these teams that you've played with, these 13 years, Where were you most comfortable, and where do you feel like you were at, you know, optimum efficiency?
Well, Buffalo is definitely
– You don't have to say that.
No, I'm just saying Buffalo is closest to my heart. Like when I even making the playoffs this year, you know, that I felt good when I saw that and just knew, you know, with this fan base and everything they've been through. But I think with Chan Gailey would be another answer for me. So three of those years were in Buffalo, and then when we were able to be in New York together for 2 years, Chan was the coach that made me feel most comfortable and allowed me – kind of the most freedom. He cared about the results, not necessarily how to get there. And you know, I think he was very receiver friendly too.
Yeah,
you know,
was.
With when Donald and I played together, and Stevie Johnson, kind of allowing him to blossom as a player, a little unorthodox. you know, but I learned a ton when I was in Houston with Bill O'Brien. He's a really impressive head coach. But each place has its own little special, you know, place in my heart, but Buffalo for sure has the biggest spot.
How much longer do you see yourself playing?
I don't know. I mean, I'm healthy. The only thing that's really happened to me in my career, I broke my leg in 2014. I've got a rod in it, but I don't feel any of those effects, you know, waking up or walking around yet. But, yeah, you know, you're an old guy. But I feel really good right now. So health-wise, I've been okay. I've been fortunate, you know, to avoid a lot of the head injuries and things. So, and my boys are – almost 11 and 9, and
really?
they're loving. Yeah, they're getting old, man. But they are loving it. They love, you know, everything about it. And I try to bring them around a little bit more and in the locker room after games and stuff. So that's fun for me as a dad.
Six children, right?
Six kids,
age
two boys,
11,
four
two.
Girls.
You almost 11.
We're like
people or something.
Well, Philip Rivers has got me beat, but we're every 2 years. We've got off season babies every 2 years. You know, stretching basically for 11 years.
And do they move with you when you go to the
Yeah, stairs? So everywhere we go, they move with me. So like my oldest son, Brady, not because of Tom Brady, even though everybody always asks that. my oldest son, Brady's in fifth grade, and he's been at a different school every single year, which has kind of been crazy, but he really embraces it and sets the tone for the rest of the family, and everybody else just falls in line. So we've enjoyed it.
It's got to be a lot of fun, right, moving that whole – around.
It is. I've got an Eric Wood story. I don't know if we have time here.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to do your job for you, Murph. I want
to
make sure
it,
we have time. I mean,
I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it.
Is there any more questions for Fitz that you had before?
Me? I want him to get to his Eric Wood story. So I'm going to do your job for you, too.
So there's a game at Cincinnati, right?
There's a game at Cincinnati.
Donald was there.
Donald remembers it well because Donald scored a touchdown, probably about a 31 yarder or so.
Something like I remember it for other reasons I can't say online. I mean, on air, but. Go ahead, Darren.
Yeah, he was probably open all game and whatever. But we were down. We were losing by quite a bit, and Donald scored a touchdown, I think, at the end of the first half, and we ended up winning. Stevie, why so serious?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Breakout game. But before that happened.
Before the game?
Before the game.
Okay.
So Eric Wood, this is his homecoming, Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
He's fired up.
Right.
I mean, gets to play in front of the home crowd. His family's there. So we're running out of the tunnel. Eric's going to lead the way for the team. You know, and now introducing Buffalo Bills. Boo! Everybody's booing. And Eric's in front of me, leads the team out. He's got that real distinct, you know, big man jog or whatever. He's running to the wrong sideline. He's running straight. And he's going to Cincinnati's sideline. And, like, I can't, you know, Eric, but the boos are loud. And he can't. So we all go diagonal to our sideline. And Eric just keeps going. And I'm like, oh, my God. So he got 30, 35 yards in and
looked around.
Starts looking back.
He's by himself.
Then he had to cut and go across the other way. But that, to me, like, that one was hilarious when I was thinking about good Eric stories. And then there's some more that I can't tell about certain smells.
Were you, like, jogging, just watching them the entire way?
Oh, yeah. I'm acting like I was saying it, but I wasn't. I was laughing so hard. And maybe that's why we got down three touchdowns and whatever it was in that game. But we came back and won it, thanks to you, Donald.
I started it, I guess.
You did. Donald has pointed out, Ryan, I'm curious if you agree with this, that Eric's retirement, sad as it is, the, you know, the end of his career, being forced to retire, but the upside is he, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but he didn't have to lay in a field or be put on a backboard or have that sort of thing. And you could probably relate to that as long as you've been around.
Yeah, and I just – it's hard, though. The finality of it is hard.
Yeah.
You know, he goes in, he's been having these stingers all year, he's played – through everything, you know, throughout his career with the injuries and stuff, and each injury he's had, he's been able to overcome. He's been able to either tough it out or rehab it, get a surgery to fix it, and this is what he loves to do. He loves to play football. And so to go in and have that physical for them to say, look, there's something wrong. Okay, let's get a second look at it. And for them to say, you can't play football anymore. I mean, the finality of that, and you could speak to it probably better than I can, just, you know, in terms of your medical history and all that. But the finality of that, for it to be taken away, you know, and for them to say, you can't do it anymore, it's not on his own terms. And I think that's the thing that you struggle with a little bit. But then you put it into perspective. He's got a beautiful wife, two beautiful kids, enough money in the bank, and, you know, he's a well-respected guy, not just in Buffalo, but around the entire league. He's had a great career. He went to a Pro Bowl. I think there's a lot of things that he can be proud of, and it's just hard. The finality of it is a tough thing to deal with.
I don't know if you've had a chance to speak to him about this. He's still probably dealing with, as I dealt with it for years, a couple of years before I kind of fully came to grips with everything. But has he told you what he plans to do? Is he planning on just going back to Kentucky and owning some horses?
I we'll probably see him at the Derby a few times. I don't know if he'll be an owner or not, but I don't know. I mean, this is so fresh. You know, this wasn't something that was on his radar at all. Yeah. You know, he came off a couple great years and was really, you know, excited about where this team was headed. And so this kind of caught him off guard, and he's had a couple weeks to think about it. But I don't know that he's really addressed that yet. He's just trying to, you know, clear his head with everything that's going on right now.
Last question I have for you, Ryan. When you go to bed and you dream about playing football, what uniform do you have on? Bills, Bengals, Harvard, Tampa?
So right? I'll say this. Yeah. So I went back to the
St. Louis
Jets. Well, I went back to my high school. It was actually during the season. We were playing the Arizona Cardinals out there. And one of my high school teammates was Marquise Cooper, who passed away in the tragic boating accident in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And they honored him and his family. And it happened to be the week that we were playing Arizona. So we got in on Friday. I was able to go to the game Friday night and talk to Bruce and Donna, his parents. And they asked me, you know, we're going to put a banner up of you. What team? You know, so that was the first time I was thinking, okay, what team? I start going through the list, and I gave them a picture of me in a Bills jersey. Cool. I mean, because that to me is like, when I think about my career, those are like, my 4 years here had more of an impact on me than anywhere else I've been.
Yeah. You still have the beard, but this year you shaved it off.
Yeah.
I mean,
instant regret.
What was that? You look like, I don't know what.
What
you
did
look
I
like.
Look what, like? You tell
no,
me.
No, no, because I no. I'm. Oh, you about, you asking me what you look like?
Well, you tell me. I mean,
you look like you went to Harvard.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And there's two ways you can
your
play
wife,
it.
Like, you're right. Now, does your life? I mean, does your wife like you with the beard or without? Because you've had it now for so long, it's kind of like your trademark.
Right. So this is a big deal in my house. My kids, like, absolutely hated me. They hated my face. They thought
without
the beard. I mean,
it's like, who is that?
I've been covering my face up for a long time. I got a pointy nose, but you can't really tell if I have the beard. You know, mm-hmm. Weird looking chin. You know, this beard is not hiding anything. This is just, I'm trying to glorify, you know, the curled stash, the different colors that aren't gray. They're blonde.
Right.
It's just not. The unbearded look at this point is not something I want to go back to.
Gotcha.
That being said, once I'm done playing, I could shave this thing off and nobody would ever recognize me. So maybe that's what I'll do. I don't know. Be anonymous.
It's such a pleasure to have you here. We should have you here more often, maybe under different circumstances.
There's a direct flight from Tampa to Buffalo.
There you go.
Anytime you guys want me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in studio. Let's do this.
Great.
This is fun.
Thank you, Ryan. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Ryan Fitzpatrick joining us to talk about Eric Wood's announcement. We'll hear some of that announcement when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Our thanks to Ryan Fitzpatrick for joining us, your former teammate. He was excellent, Donald. You coached him up well.
Right.
Eric Wood made his announcement about an hour ago, Wood saying that he is no longer cleared to play football. His football playing days are over. Says he's still on the roster and looks forward to helping out the Bills in some capacity moving forward. Return is not possible. And Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager, met with the media a few minutes ago, and here's his take on Wood's announcement and what it means.
There's all sorts of things when you're doing roster management and all that. So he'll stay on the roster, you know, for now, and we'll figure out what's the best tactic for the Buffalo Bills and as we move forward. But there's really we're a long way away from figuring out where we're going.
Does there remain any chance he could still play?
You know, to be honest with you, I don't believe so. But you know, that's again, we're just really trying to, with the news, you know, it happened fast for him and for us too. So we're all still soaking it in and trying to make the best decisions.
Brandon, I'm just jumping in here, but obviously a lengthy delay was my understanding. There was a lot of discussion going on as to precisely how to handle this wording, just a statement, no questions, that sort of thing. Can you give us the best explanation you can on where things stand on that front?
Well, I think they were just a little bit late getting in here, to be honest with you. I know he had a phone call to make you know, with his agent. I don't know what was discussed.
How much contact did you have with Eric between?
Brandon Bean, Bill's general manager, not shedding a ton of light, but, the net result is his playing days are over, no matter how it shakes out. Yeah. I assume there'll be some sort of resolution down the road a little bit.
You would think so. But, yeah, he's done. He's done, and now he gets to move on to the next phase of his life. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, me too. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. Super Bowl coverage coming up tomorrow. Steve Tasker covering that game for us in Minnesota. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistants, J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Colton, Kelly Rood, our producer, Jay Harris. And we will be back tomorrow at 12 noon with the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.